WildTalkRadio.com.
The Wild Talk Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure a show full of passion and excitement.
The king's coming. He's coming! He's coming! Yes, he is! Yes, yes, yes!
WTR brings to you The Rack.
Just so you know, there's no one or no way to protect you now.
Featuring two women bringing to you their opinions.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
And their high-pitched squeals about the world of pro wrestling.
The pain and suffering has just begun.
With your hosts.
If any of these ladies misbehave, I give you permission to spank them.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Jackie Feist.
Look at me, woman.
And Lindsay Warwick.
This is one vicious fixin' right here.
Now, through hellfire and brimstone, it's The Rack.
Sorry about your damn luck.
I have one thing to say. You better work.
Welcome, everybody, to The Rack here at WildTalkRadio.com. My name is Jackie, and with me here, like she is every week, is my partner in crime, Lindsay Warren. Hello, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Jackie?
I'm doing very well, and of course, with us is our producer, Rock. Hi, Rock.
Hi, I'm eating. Sorry.
Ugh. What a typical man. Anyway, so Rock is eating, but whatever, because that's not even anywhere near the news this week. The news this week is here on this show today, as in, like, right now, we're going to have Trish Stratus. Oh, my God.
I know. Trish Stratus. We got Trish Stratus. Yes, we did, and we had a fabulous interview with her. Oh my God.
We did. I cannot fangirl or mark enough. I mean, oh my, it was so incredible. And if any of you heard the preview that was done, she heard from her press people, whatever, that this was a show done by two women. And she was like she was excited. Her exact words were, let's do this. I mean, she was really excited. And I think that's one of the things that kind of makes The Rack unique. You know, Lindsay and I are two females who are, yeah, we're fangirls for, you know, the Brothers of Destruction, but we can still sit down and we can talk wrestling. And that's kind of rare. So to have Trish kind of be excited about that, was great, and I feel like gives us just a little bit of credibility. And I'm wondering if Rock can put his food down for a minute. Is there any way we can play that?
I was going to say, did you want to play it? We can play it.
I do, please.
This week on The Rack. I saw the ladies on the list. I was like, let's do this. And you nope. Too, Omega, just saying. You know.
yeah, they sprung a fanboy on you. I apologize.
Check out our exclusive.
Okay, so yeah, and that's, I guess, you know, I was marking out, but I forgot to mention that our good friend TG Omega was there too. Even though Omega has never been on The Rack, he is, he's a very big fan of Trish, and just as his friends, we could not interview her and not have him there. That would be like Omega and Rock interviewing Kane and not having Lindsay and I there. It would be that cruel.
I didn't tell you we've already put one in the can with Kane, me and Omega. We did it the other day.
God.
You're fired.
Totally cruising for a bruising, as my dad says. Oh my God.
He just wants those hashtag spankings, that's all.
Right. But if he keeps that stuff up, he ain't not getting any. Just saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we totally, I mean, it was really, really incredible. And I mean, what else do you say? You know, we talked to Trish Stratus and we were promised 15 minutes and we got 18. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Omega brought up some really good questions, some stuff she actually thanked him for asking. So, I mean, yeah, so we're really looking forward to getting that out for everyone to hear. But, while we're waiting on that, we did have a few other, notes to talk about. And, of course, since we are Brothers of Destruction fangirls, we might as well start with Kane and The Undertaker. Lindsay?
Yes, ma'am.
So somebody made a very, 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 very special appearance on SmackDown.
Yes, he did. And we're very happy for it because he also had an awesome appearance on Raw as well.
And who is this?
That would be our beloved Kane.
Yes, awesome, awesome, awesome. For those of you who have not read the SmackDown spoilers, cover your ears. I guess we already ruined it. But Kane showed up on SmackDown. And it was really cool because for those of you who missed it, Kane came out on Raw this week and just completely decimated the entire tag team division with the exception of the Usos. He gave... I think it was Epico, a boot to the face, and we are still looking for his teeth. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I think they're down so darn, so far down his throat, they're coming out his ass at this point.
If only we knew a dentist.
If only we knew a dentist. Where's right. that Isaac Gangham guy when you need him? God damn it.
God. But, yeah, so Kane came out first, and this was the first time we'd seen him on television since he lost the ambulance match against John Cena at the last pay-per-view at Elimination Chamber. And, of course, I threw a fit last week, well, not this last week on Raw, but the week before, because he wasn't on. He was there in the dark match, so he was in the building, but they couldn't put him on TV, whatever. And then so we started to go, and then... You know, on last week he didn't kind of show up, and I was like, I guess ultimately no one should have been really surprised that he wasn't on for a while because there was a bit of a, what do you want to call it? With everything that was going on between The Rock and Cena, I was surprised we really got any Kane at all. But thank God that we did. And at first I was trying to figure out, you know, I was kind of putting two and two together, trying to figure out what was going on. I know that we had talked about doing show prep. We had talked about, you know, there has been some reports out that Taker is going to possibly be around for a while.
Yes.
So I was kind of hoping maybe, even though I don't see Taker being a full-time worker right now, when Kane showed up and did what he did to almost the entire tag division and the news started coming around that maybe Taker's going to be around for a bit, you know where my mind went, Lindsay. I was going straight to, you know, Brothers of Destruction coming and taking the belts off of Epico and Primo, finally.
I know, and it's a very cheery, happy fantasy, but sadly, sweetie, I don't think we're going to get
it. Yeah,
Taker being around is Taker working WrestleMania for the next couple of years, and that's it.
Rock, what were you going to say?
I was going to say you went.
Yes,
I did, and again, it was a bit of a pipe dream. I mean, obviously, you know, he's not going to be around that much, but so I was just like, I wasn't really sure where that was going. I mean, personally, I don't mind Kane coming out and just decimating people just to show off the fact that he can do it. I mean, I thought it was pretty hot, but anyway, so he came out and he decimated everybody and then proceeded to leave, and I was like, okay, and then. You know, Tuesday came and the SmackDown spoilers came out, but I was preparing for a job interview I had, so to be honest, I didn't rush to read the spoilers like I usually do. And then Lindsay tells me, oh my God, Kane was at SmackDown. And I was like, wait, what?
Yes.
And apparently Kane comes out and beats up who, Lindsay?
I believe he beat up Randy Orton and it wasn't so much a beat down or beat up as just a, you know, a warm welcome back from Kane to Randy Orton. Cause, you know, I think he missed him, so he just felt the need to jovially kick his ass.
Now,
that's all.
I do think, all things considered, that this is a bit random, but it kind of makes sense when you look at it. Besides being a Brothers of Destruction fangirl, Lindsay is also a Wade Barrett fangirl, and if memory serves, noted by the orgasm right there, she's a fan.
No, that was the the pitiful cry because Wade is gone.
Now, for those of you who missed the pay-per-view, and I'm eating too, by the way, Randy Orton, I'm not Randy Orton, I'm sorry. And this was not pay-per-view, this was Raw. Was it Raw?
When, The Battle Royal.
When Wade Barrett hurt his elbow. Got his elbow dislocated, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of out of action, but he, if I'm not mistaken, was feuding with Randy Orton.
I believe he was, yes. He was either wrapping that up or they were planning on taking that to WrestleMania. I'm not entirely sure which, but yeah, at this point I would say Kane is now the holding pattern for Randy Orton until they can get Wade Barrett back.
Right, and so that's kind of where I'm thinking this is going. Now, this is great, but this is also bad. Keeping in mind that Kane is my favorite full-time worker on TV right now, and I say that to differentiate him from Undertaker, who is not a full-time worker right now, but still one of my all-time favorites, maybe my all-time favorite. Kane is my all-time favorite full-time worker on the entire roster right now. But this will be the second feud in a row where he was just kind of thrown into something to hold off someone else until someone else showed up. He feuded with Cena to give Cena something to do until the end of Elimination Chamber for him to go on a feud with Rock. And now he's being thrown into a feud with Randy Orton to hold off until, you know, unfortunately, I mean, Barrett's not going to be in for a while. I mean, he dislocated his elbow. That's very serious. And so it's just like, I kind of feel like, well, it's good to see him on TV for any reason. One of Lindsay and my biggest complaint about his feud with Cena was, oh, that it ended really abruptly because of, you know, Cena had to go on and face, you know, in feud with The Rock. And I'm like, you know what, this feud's going to end the exact same way because it's just a filler feud until Barrett comes back.
Well, here's the thing you need to consider is at this point, Barrett is probably out for 6 to 8 weeks, possibly even 10. Projecting him, he will more than likely not be at Mania, or if he is at Mania, he will not be wrestling. So this will probably be Kane/Orton's WrestleMania feud. They're going to have to take this, if that's the case, just because Kane beat up, you know, Randy Orton doesn't mean that he's going to feud with him, but it's highly likely. Same with the, you know, he beat up the entire tag team division except for the Usos, but he may not feud with them either. So they're setting Kane up for something. They're using him for something. They're trying to, again, establish him as the strong, dark, badass heel that they did with Cena, and they're trying to continue that. But, yeah, I see Kane and Orton taking this into Mania and then ending it at Mania, and then Barrett comes back.
Yeah, I mean, and it's one of those things where I'm sure that, you know, Glenn Jacobs has always been a company man. He's always been willing to do whatever needed to be done in order to you know, what's good for the company. And I think that's probably one reason why he's been around so long. So, you know, he was probably more than willing to do this. I'm just like, okay, fine. But as, like, one of the two biggest fangirls in the world, can we get a feud built around this man for once? Just saying. I mean, this is the second time he's just been thrown into something, and I'm like, he could do better.
Well, to be fair, the whole Cena feud was technically built around him. It was built around embracing the hate. The problem was they did, High Omega. Of course, the first words you heard were Glenn Jacobs. This is the rat. Good God. But anyway, Live answers to your IMs right here on the show. Anyway, the whole Embrace the Hate feud was technically surrounded by, you know, was for Kane and for Cena, but they did a really kind of ass-backwards way of doing it by involving in Zack Ryder and Eve and, you know, Kane never really touching Cena except for the whole suffocation thing. So I think they know how to center a feud around Kane. I just don't think they know how to execute the feud around Kane. That's the problem.
Right.
Especially with the new gimmick.
I'm thinking, Lindsay, they need to hire someone who likes writing Kane stuff. Just saying.
I think they do, too. I wonder if we could find anybody.
But, yeah, so that's kind of where Kane is at right now. If you're a Kane fan, number one, you're awesome. Number two, definitely check out SmackDown this week. He's going to decimate Randy Orton. And it's always fun to watch him decimate people.
I have a question for you, too.
Okay.
Since we all have kind of figured what Kane was going to do at WrestleMania, what do you do with Zack Ryder now?
Leave him in traction?
And, you know, that's one of the other things that's unfortunate is that I would argue that Zack Ryder's push kind of was victimized by just for the sake of putting over Cena.
I would argue that, but here's the thing. When they bring Ryder back, because they pulled Ryder off TV, I believe, to shoot stuff for the network.
Did they? Oh, okay.
I think he's doing other stuff right now, and that's why they pulled him off TV. But when they bring Ryder back, they've either set up actually a pretty decent feud with Cena or a pretty decent feud with Kane. And either way, he'll have the sympathetic babyface vote because of what Eve and Cena did to him. Or he'll have motivation as a bad guy to come after Cena or come after Kane, where it's like, well, okay, for Kane, you beat the shit out of me for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. You put me in traction. I have all these medical bills. This is all your fault. So I'm going to take it out on your ass. Or for Cena, it's you stole my girl. You know, I don't care that she was using me. You stole her from me. You're mine. Or he could even go after Eve. It's like, you know, you money-grubbing whore. You used me to try to get to John Cena. I went through all this for you. Again, I have all these medical bills. I'm going to take it out on you. So they've set him up, actually, to have a couple pretty decent feuds when he comes back. That's if they do the whole continuity thing. But we'll just have to see.
Here's another question about the return of Zack Ryder. Is it possible, and if so, how would it work for Zack Ryder to feud in any way possible with Eve? I mean, obviously they can't wrestle each other, but if he's going to come back and get mad at Cena, I mean, obviously when you consider the situation, Cena was, even though neither of them were innocent, Cena was kind of more the victim there, as Eve made her intentions pretty clear.
Well, here's the thing. Eve is starting that whole, I'm going to start using guys gimmick, and you want to be used by me, you want to be used by me, blah, 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 blah. So at that point, even though I find it hard to believe that they're going to find anybody that stupid to willingly get used by her, they will find somebody to fall for her tricks, and she will be probably with someone at that point. And she'll be like, oh my god, he's after me, save me, help, 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 to the whole damsel in distress BS. So
yeah,
that's probably what will happen, and then Ryder will feud with whomever she's with. Hopefully what they'll do is they'll bring somebody up from FCW, they'll put her with him, he'll get a rub from Eve and Ryder, which just sounds really bizarre if you think about it. But they'll bring that person up, they'll hopefully get a rub that will help them get over, and, you know, in the process, Ryder will get a bigger push, Eve will get a push, and everybody wins.
I do like this kind of Poison Ivy thing that they're doing with her, where she is, you know, knowingly, you know, just manipulating these guys. You know, oh, I'm the damsel in distress, he's gonna hurt me, save me, or, you know, I'm kind of liking where that's going. Ultimately, you can't have a man wrestle a woman. I mean, it's something that's not going to happen, but it's even, you just can't let that go, I guess. I mean, that would be a total waste for him to go after Cena and just like Eve never happened. So that'll be kind of interesting to see how that goes over, and hopefully Ryder will be back soon.
And I could just throw in somebody who will team with, you know, Zack Ryder.
Shut up, Brock.
It makes sense.
Bad kitty. Bad, bad, bad kitty.
The last thing we need is more of her on TV.
It's going to happen. Oh.
You're probably right, but it's not happened yet, so do we have to talk about it?
I was just throwing it out there, so I can be wrong.
I direct you to open the link to the GIF that Jaffe posted in the Skype chat.
Jaffe?
And wait. Jackie. That Jackie posted in the Skype chat. Shouldn't talk with my mouth full.
Yeah, open that.
And Wade Barrett will give you your answer to that whole exchange.
Just saying. Okay, fine.
But, he shakes his head at you, sir.
But anyway, moving on to the next thing, since we've now dissected Kane for almost 30 minutes. Taker is no longer advertised to be on Raw.
Boo Earns.
he's been removed from the advertisements, which sucks. And I'm wondering if anyone can provide a reason why. Any ideas?
He heard my rants about his head, and now he's scared.
The more legitimate reason, they're focusing Monday on Hunter and Shawn.
Okay.
And they don't need Undertaker yet.
But he makes them fight over him so well.
And it doesn't mean we won't see a video from the Undertaker. It doesn't just means he won't be there live.
But I want to see him live. I want to see the drink, you know, the tall, dark, sexy piece of drink right there. I mean...
And you also got to feel sorry for the people who bought tickets because they thought he was going to be there.
Oh, dude, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, because Cena did that shit to me at an event in October. I was kind of mad. Cena was one of the people that was there I wanted to see because I had never seen Cena in person. He was advertised to be there and then didn't show up. Not a happy camper. Just saying.
Well, too, also to a point, you know, yes, they are not advertising The Undertaker to be there, but like Rock said, you know, that we may get a video package, or he may still be there. You know, plans can change within the WWE. Right now, they may want to focus on Hunter and Shawn, but it all depends on what the three of them ultimately say.
And technically, I mean, if you want to get downright technical about it, and I agree that Rock makes a legitimate point about why he would not be there, but just because his advertisement has been taken down, does that necessarily mean that he's not going to be there?
I would say no. I mean, what you could do, he may not be on the live show, but you could always have Taker walk out after the show was over and do a stare down with Hunter, and people get their money's worth. They see him. Because they're not paying to see him wrestle.
My understanding is that he was not, if they wanted to make it a surprise, it was not advertised that he was going to be there when he came back. He just kind of showed up. So.
Which I love.
And it obviously, since they have been advertising for the last few weeks, they can't just surprise us anymore. But, I mean, it's just something, you know, just something to think about.
Well, I think what part of this is maybe this feud got moved up a little bit. And they're extending it out. Because I think it was... They're in Minneapolis this week, aren't they?
They're in Boston.
Or they're in Boston, that's right. They were... I think it was the end of February, the show in Minneapolis, where... Taker was first advertised to be back. Because he wasn't advertised before that, and they were saying, you know, see The Undertaker and Triple H have their first explosive confrontation since WrestleMania. Well, the only problem with that was they had it, you know, 2 or 3 weeks prior to that show. So, it's understandable that, you know, maybe they're moving stuff around, maybe they've pushed the feud up. Any number of reasons as far as what's going on with that.
Go finish point.
So it could be he's there, it could be we just don't see him, that he just could come out for the live crowd. Because like I said, people aren't paying to see him wrestle, they're just paying to see him show up.
Right, and I just went to the tdgarden.com, current list, the People's Champion, The Rock, to return to Boston, home of his WrestleMania 28 opponent, John Cena. What will happen, what will the Heartbreak Kid have to say to his best friend, Triple H, after the game said 2 weeks ago that he was better than Shawn Michaels. So that's kind of the clue that they're focusing on that, and then the following week we'll see Taker's role in it.
Yeah, because, I mean, as far as Taker's concerned, he's done. All he had to do was get Triple H to make the match. Now they have to bring Shawn Michaels into the feud and establish his role at WrestleMania, whatever it's going to be.
And that could be this week.
Yeah, and that probably will be this week, but I guess we'll just have to tune in Monday and see.
And before Jackie goes, what's the Raw Dark match? It's John Cena and CM Punk versus Chris Jericho and Kane.
He better be on TV this week, goddammit. I'm so sick of that. He won't be on TV, but he'll be in the dark match, and I'm like, what did I ever do to you? Seriously.
You cried when he shaved his beard. That's what you did.
Yeah, but you cried when he shaved his beard, too.
Not as hard as you. I cried when Taker shaved his goddamn head.
Yeah, I know. I was sitting on you at the time. And it's just kind of one of those things where it's like they keep leaving him off TV and putting him in the dark match. I'm like, no. I feel like I'm talking to Ziva. No. You will put him on TV. He will do an awesome job. He will look gorgeous, and I will be happy. Just saying.
I know, but I don't think that's going to happen, sweetie. Sorry.
Well, one other thing to bring up, since we've been talking about WrestleMania and, you know, everyone's place in it, there's been a new match made for WrestleMania, which is Cody versus Big Show. And I'm actually going to lead off with that by saying I'm a bit disappointed. Show is one of my all-time favorites, don't get me wrong, definitely in my quote-unquote fave five. I love him. I'm happy to see him on the card. But to be honest, at WrestleMania, I was wanting Cody to go against his brother. They kind of teased it, and then they just dropped it, and I'm like, why? That would have been awesome. Brother versus brother matches are legendary.
I mean, well, partially because I think Goldust was pushing for it hard. I don't know about Cody. But Goldust was pushing the match hard on Twitter. He was encouraging people to push for the match, try and get it. And that may have pissed them off about it. Where it's, you know, okay, you're trying to basically do the whole Zack Ryder thing where you get yourself over with the people and you have the people clamor for you so bad, but, you know, until the point that they have little choice but to do something with you. And I think that may have been part of it. And also they teased it and I don't think it got much reaction, if I remember properly. It didn't really do anything. So they probably thought, okay, well, let's not go forward with this.
I would have liked to see it. One of the things that they did do that I kind of had to question during that was we saw Dustin, but we never saw Goldust. And I think that's kind of one thing that people would like to see is I think a lot of people would have liked to have seen Goldust. So, I mean, that's something that they probably could have helped their cause a bit more. But,
well,
you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I would have liked to have seen Goldust. I think that Goldust, at the time when he was there and at his prime was a revolutionary character. I still remember his, was it a backlot brawl against Roddy Piper where he ended up, you know, Piper peeled off his gold outfit and he was in a teddy or something. I mean, his character, I believe, at the time was really revolutionary. And I love how he used people's own homophobia to freak them out and win matches. It was great. And then add to that the addition of his wife, Terry Runnels, as Marlena, and it got even better. And I would have really liked to see that again. I don't think we would have saw Terry Runnels again, don't get me wrong, but I just really enjoyed the Goldust character, and I'm kind of disappointed we were teased with it and then never got it.
Well, here's another question to kind of debate at this point in time. Does the Goldust character fit into the current WWE product, especially as a PG character? Because the Goldust that we all remember is certainly not PG. He was one of the defining members of the Attitude Era. He helped push that envelope better than anybody, you know, as far as the whole cross-dressing, the homophobia, all of the things that he did. And I mean, at this stage in the game, he can't do that because it doesn't fit. So does that character still fit, or is it kind of sort of need to go with the past at this point?
I think that, you know, the thing about these gimmicks is kind of just like, you know, anything else, any other kind of fad or anything else in society, they kind of lose their appeal after so much time. Like, take, for example, when Marilyn Manson first came out, he was the most controversial thing out there. You know, people were protesting weeks and weeks ahead of time whenever, you know, they thought he was going to be anywhere at a concert. Nowadays, Marilyn Manson's considered to be pretty tame. And I think number
right.
one, I think there's, even though I'm not prepared to say there's no more homophobia in the world, I think there's less now. And I think it's just kind of gotten to a point where I think people are pretty much over it at this point as far as being shocked. So I think that you're correct in that particular homophobia angle is not necessarily needed anymore. I mean, people are pretty much over that now, but still. I mean, Goldust, Goldust is one of those characters that stuck with me over the years. I really like him. It could be just my affinity for the big man, you know? But I would have, again, I think more of it, it's just the brother versus brother match. I mean, we got him from Taker and Kane. We got him from Bret and Owen. But we haven't had one in a long time. I can't even remember one that we've had within the last, 5 years?
Well, we've had him with Taker and Kane in the last 5 years, but we haven't had a new one in a long time.
Right, like a completely new one.
The other thing to consider is Goldust was out hurt at that time, and I think he's still injured. I don't think he's been medically cleared yet. He hasn't put on his Twitter that he's been medically cleared. And as last I heard, he was actually working backstage as either a road agent or producer or
he's
something
along.
He's
working with the Divas, I think.
Is he working with the Divas as well?
I think so.
Oh, Lord. He needs to work harder. No offense, dude, but you got an uphill battle there. But I think Goldust is still injured, and that may be a deciding factor in that as well, is that he may not be medically clear, because I think he went out for shoulder surgery, and he's not recovered yet. That could be part of it too. So if he can't get himself medically cleared, obviously they're not going to let him in the ring. And I don't think Cody versus Sho is necessarily a bad mix. It's going to be kind of obvious who wins. I mean, they're going to give Cody the rub. But, you know, they're putting on a decent feud so far. You have Cody being the cocky young heel going after Sho, you know, showing his most embarrassing moments. By the way, I could have totally lived without seeing Sho in that thong from WrestleMania.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the bad memories, WWE.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. I was eating at the time. I almost threw up. Thank you. But he's doing a good job with it, and I think they'll give us a decent match. It's going to be, I think what it is it's one of those cool-down matches where at this point they've got their big matches set. They've just got to set the cool-down matches that they're going to space in between those big matches.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's face it, at this point they can't have any more roof burners because they don't have room for them.
Right. I mean, to be honest, the card for WrestleMania is really starting to stack up very nicely, and the crowd is going to be exhausted. So by the time, I mean, if they don't give us some kind of cool down match, by the time we get to Rock Cena, which I do believe at this point will be the main event, they're going to be spent.
Yes.
So, but I think we should go to break and prepare a bit for the super awesome interview with Trish Stratus that I'm totally psyched for. So, Lindsay, what do you say we go to break?
Yes.
Okay, so
I say we go to break.
Okay, so I am Jackie, that is Lindsay, this is Rock. We are going to be right back. You're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Trish Stratus is next!
Trish Stratus is next, just saying, oh my god.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you have the balls to listen to just another goddamn wrestling show?
Do you guys ever read the newspapers?
I do.
And apparently there's a fella that's from up there, I think, in southern Indiana somewhere, who got kicked in the old family jewel. And he had to have one of his testicles, that's just one of his balls, removed, they say.
Testicles a ball? I didn't know that.
Yes, it is. Have you ever had matzo balls?
Matzo balls? What's a matzo ball?
Matzo balls. Have you ever had those?
No, believe it or not, no.
Well, they're quite good.
Are they moist? Are they chewy?
It's kosher food, sir. Matzo ball.
Tune in every Wednesday night to Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tired of the same old view of Monday night wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night, just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw, only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
I don't care what y'all say. Whoa, it's time to rock and roll. Whoa, this time I'm in control. Whoa, right now I own the streets. I got the keys to the city. That's cause I get down. Whoa, time to rock and roll. This time I'm in control. Whoa, right now I own the streets. I got the keys to the city. That's cause I get down.
And welcome back to The Rack. My name is Jackie Feist, and I am joined by Lindsay Ward and TJ Omega, here to talk about her new movie, Bounty Hunters, available now at TrishStratus.com, is seven-time WWE Women's Champion and Diva of the Decade, Trish Stratus. Trish, how are you today?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you guys?
Oh, we're awesome, and we do appreciate you coming today. I want to actually open up with asking you about something in Bounty Hunter specifically that I saw in a trailer on YouTube. There is what looks like to be an epic fight scene between you and another female.
Correct.
Just tell us a little bit about that. I mean, first of all, I love that kind of aggression between two women in a movie. You don't see that often, but kind of what was that like on a film set compared to being in the ring with a trained WWE diva?
Very different. Obviously, you know, the medium of film is very different because there's no instant gratification when you do a move on the movie set. They don't necessarily cheer. So, you know, it was a little bit different to adapt it, of course. However, the thing that was similar is that, you know, I got together with, her name's Andrea. She's Jules and Ruby are the characters you'll see having an epic battle. But it's, you know, her name is Andrea James Louis, and, she's a martial artist. She's also a stunt person. And so initially we hooked up and we got together because, you know, we were going to approach the scene as traditional movie making would, and we would just be doing some stunt work. Well, Trish, who is a wrestler, didn't understand, you don't make contact when you do stunt work. So I said to her, you know, let's approach the scene a little bit differently. So we worked a couple months beforehand. We did the training. Each of us got trained into a specific, like I learned Krav Maga, which is an Israeli special ops fighting. So the fight choreographer who worked with us, he was really, you know, really keen on making sure that each character had a specific fight series, or even like, you know, who some of the characters who didn't have a fight style had a specific gun that they used. So he was very protective over that. Much like, you know, Fit Finlay did with the women's division, was kind of like, this is your style, this is your style. And so we learned, you know, I learned the style. We trained a couple months together, and it gave us a chance to really build that chemistry. And I think we built this chemistry, which is the same thing that I would build in the ring with someone. It's important to have that chemistry, have that trust factor. And then the fact that we approached the scene, I would say not as stunt people, but as fighters, we decided to just no boundaries, let's go in 110% and really just deliver this. And I think that's why you get this extra sort of realism that's brought to those scenes, and something that really I think hasn't been seen before from women on the big screen.
Awesome.
Now, you actually have real world experience bringing down criminals, don't you?
I do, actually. Yes, I do. Thanks for bringing that up. I was sworn in the Muncie Police Department. I did Armed and Famous, So that was right after I retired from WWE in 2006. I went out to Muncie, Indiana, did Armed and Famous, and was, I did the proper police training, except for the driving training we didn't do. But proper police training, the shooting training, I was sworn in, had a Glock 40 on my hip, and I was fighting crime for a little bit there, yeah.
Now, I have to ask about that, because I grew up in Muncie.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, yeah, I watched that whole show recognizing the entire neighborhood.
That's cool.
Yeah, I wish I knew it was filming. I would have flown up, visited my uncle, maybe stopped by my old school and robbed the liquor store while I was there.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, would you have done some, you would have broken the law just to, it was funny, we kept getting, the criminals were like, oh, I'm so excited I get to get arrested by Trish Stratus. I was like, oh, that's, I mean, we're creating more crime. This is not good.
Well, I know my luck. I'd end up on national television being frisked by Eric Estrada. How did that experience influence your role in Bounty Hunters?
I would say I was more influenced by my wrestling background than I did my actual police training background. I mean, that was, to be honest, like, I mean, police officers, I mean, I have so much respect for their job. And, you know, to go out there, I mean, that's no joke. I mean, you're out there every night and your life literally is at risk. And it was just, you know, my first call out there was meeting a family who had just had their house burned down, and it was like a week before Christmas and all their belongings were gone. And so, you know, I suddenly had to take on this role of like, you know, a counselor almost, where they were crying to me, and I was like, wow, like, you don't realize how much emotion and just how much stuff they go through, besides being in danger. You know, you never know what could be around the corner. So, I have so much respect for them. I would say Bounty Hunters was, you know, I drew more from my wrestling experience and my fight background in this particular role.
Okay. That's great. So speaking of reality shows, you were part of the new Tough Enough, which aired last year.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like as far as transitioning from an active performer to a more trainer?
It was the perfect role for me, actually. At that point, you know, been retired for a couple of years at that point. And, you know, I got the call and it was like, you know, you're going to be with Steve Austin and Bill and Booker, and to me it was just a great opportunity to take some of the experiences that I gained while I was a performer and bring it to these new kids who were just super passionate about what they wanted to do and just really driven kids. And, you know, I kind of said to them, I'm like, well, I'm going to bring some yoga to this show if you guys are cool with that. Because I knew, for me personally, what really made me a great performer, especially towards the end, was once I discovered yoga, it was something that it made me a better performer, you know, just physically and mentally. Not only, what you know, physically to be able to take the wear and tear of the job, but also what it did mentally for me as a performer to be able to, you know, just kind of take that breath before I went out on stage and really just deliver what I needed to do and be on my A game. With a clear head, it was something that I felt I wanted to show the kids. And it was kind of a cool thing because I did see how it wasn't just like, oh, we're going to do yoga with Trish. I mean, they took it serious, and I would see in the ring, like, they would be nervous before they'd meet up with Steve or something, you know, the big finale scene. And I'd say, look, like, tap into that breathing, and that would be something they would do. Or they were doing up and overs in the ring, and I'd say, okay, well, let's remember the core. Remember how we engaged in plank. And they would kind of tap into that too. So I discovered also just by being on set in this capacity that it was something that really does help you as a performer. So it was kind of cool to bring that to them.
That's awesome. Were you able to talk Bill, Booker, Steve into doing the yoga with you guys? Or,
you know, Steve, I'm still working on. Bill was actually he was pretty open-minded. He was like, absolutely. And I know I sent him my Stratus for Yoga DVD and my Fit Gloves. Have you guys heard about my Fit Gloves and my Stratus for Yoga? Yeah. So I sent it to him. So I would say maybe his wife is using it more than he is. But he's not afraid of giving a little plank, I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's good.
Or asking the kids around him to do it, whatever.
And for those who are just joining us, we are here with Trish Stratus. You can follow Trish on Twitter at TrishStratus.com. And Trish, we've been told you're a bit of a Twitter feed.
I do like the Twitter. You know, it's been neat to, I guess maybe, you know, the fact that I've been retired and I think it was tough enough that I finally was like, I just felt initially, what the heck am I going to write about? And then when I did Tough Enough, I realized that I had some fun stuff to talk about just being on the show and being around, you know, Booker and Steve and Bill. And then I just, it was a great way to connect with the fans again. And the really cool thing is, you know, obviously I've kind of come full circle in my career going back to my fitness roots, where now I've launched my fitness yoga line. And so I kind of was like, well, let's kind of see if the fans are interested in this yoga movement that I'm doing, this fitness movement. And so you know, before I would see people saying like things like, oh, you should kick her butt and this match was awesome. And now I'm seeing people, you know, I'll put tips out there and I'll put recipes out there and people are like really, you know, interested. And I see people going, you know, I took the stairs today, at work. I, Trish Stratus would be proud. Or I did, you know, I ran 10Ks today. I hope Trish, you know, and it's cool because they're, you know, we're getting older and people are just being more aware of their health. And that was my ultimate message initially when I first started to kind of get into the entertainment world was to spread health and fitness goals, you know, so it's been neat to spread it through Twitter and my Facebook as well. So it's been fun. I do enjoy it.
Well, what other types of social media do you use besides Twitter?
Facebook. My Facebook's awesome. Like right now I'm doing this thing with Bounty Hunters, where I'm giving the autograph. If you go through, if you like my page, you'll get an autographed copy of Bounty Hunters. So, and it's kind of a cool little thing on there, which I just think it's neat to be interactive and I get on there and I chat with them. And so, and I like, and I feel like it's a great way to get your finger on the pulse of what people want, you know, so everything from my yoga video, like right now I put up Stratus for Yoga. It's been really well received and I'm kind of just out there saying, so what else do you guys want to see? And so now it's sort of helping me, and I'm creating a second DVD, and so it'll kind of steer my direction a little bit. And you know, I mean, it was something even back in the day, I've had a website since 1999, which is crazy. You know, TrishStratus.com has been around that long. And I remember back in the day, I even would tap into my fans on like my WWE DVD was like, okay, what top 10 matches do you want? And the fans picked it through my website. So I've just been really aware of my fans, and having that presence online has been really important, and obviously in building myself as well as my brand.
Awesome.
That's great. What was it like working with Snooki? I mean, was it hard to follow Triple H and Undertaker last year?
Well, I seem to get put in this spot a lot, you know. I think the hardest spot was probably The Rock. I don't think anything can be worse than following someone like The Rock and Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 18. So, you know, Taker and Hunter, I got that. No. you know, I'm just really like, all I'm aware of is like going out there, like I'm just going to do what I do the best that I can do out there. And you know, I thought the fans were really actually quite receptive. I thought it was an awesome moment for me, was watching 68,000 people boo my babyface partner Snooki. But we had a little trick up our sleeve, knowing that at the very precise moment she would pull this, you know, crazy backflip out. Because I, you know, when we initially hooked up, I said, so do anything athletic? Like, can you do anything athletically? Let's talk here. Let's get your skill set down. You know, and she's like, well, I used to be a cheerleader and I used to be a gymnast. I'm like, oh, that's kind of perfect. So we talked about what she could do, what she was able to do. We worked a little bit on that move. And I was like, she's like, well, what else can I do? I'm like, no. This will be all you'll need to do at the precise moment. And, you know, it was kind of cool to see 68,000 fans be like, boo. And then, oh, okay. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. Okay. We'll cheer you.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's a memorable moment. It changed the tone of the match for sure.
Well, since we discussed Snooki, one question I wanted to ask Trish, since you are kind of heralded as the leader of the Brunette Mafia, and Lindsay and I are both brunettes, we wanted to ask for honorary membership.
Ooh, okay. I'll need you guys to do my yoga DVD. I'll have to send it to you guys. And
absolutely.
Once you can say that you can do some downward dogs and hold plank for at least a minute, then you're in.
Yes, ma'am.
Sweet.
Absolutely.
We'll totally do that.
Okay, good. You guys should take my 30-day challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I launched that at the beginning of the year. I just felt like people are like, oh, I can't wait for New Year's. I want to do a New Year's resolution. So I thought that was my way of seeing what fans wanted and what people out there wanted. So I created this 30-day challenge where we all went on it together. We did yoga and we, you know, integrated just, you know, healthy living, healthy eating. And it's very simple to follow, just that you have to follow it for 30 days. So it's, you know, that's the trick of it. And it's been awesome. Oh, my God, I've read some stories of people like transforming not only physically, but they've said like what it's doing for them, just the confidence booster they've gotten. I've had girls say, you know, just to hear people say, wow, you're doing great, or good job, or you look great, has just boosted their confidence. And it's just really cool to see. So that's an example of what I mean, which is by getting, you know, connected with everybody and getting online. So I will send you the 30-day challenge if you're up for it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Ma'am. Absolutely.
Excellent. Cool.
There's one quick thing I have to ask about, which I remember an appearance on MTV Cribs. Do you still keep up with that wrestling figure collection?
Oh, of course I do. Yeah, it's updated. Like we switch the belts on the figures. We're such kids. It's hilarious, actually. We're like full-grown adults, but we have toys and Yeah, but we do. We keep up with it. We have the collection, and someone actually made a very cool Trish Stratus doll with brunette hair. So, you know, there's yet to be an official one made yet. I need to call Mattel, apparently. But, yeah, so she's kind of standing at the very front of our collection.
That's awesome.
I have to ask all the guests about toy collecting.
Are you a toy collector?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. How's your collection?
Overwhelming.
Oh, yeah?
poverty-inducing at times, but it's fun.
Uh-huh. Is it just wrestling figures?
Not so much wrestling figures. I'm an old Transformer fan, so many plastic robots.
Very cool. Okay. You know, I went recently. I was in Los Angeles, and I went and toured the Mattel factory. It was awesome. I mean, you won't even, like, just to see everything, I got to, and I also collect Barbies, so that's, like, a little, like, thing that I used to do back in the day, but, so I got to see how they make the Barbies, how they put the hair in the Barbies, and then I got to see how they do the hot rod cars, and so that was kind of an awesome moment. You would love it, just
probably
saying.
Would.
Not to make you jealous, I'm just saying that I got to do it.
Well, back on a serious note, you can go to TrishStratus.com to pick up a copy of her movie, Bounty Hunters, available right now, and you can get an autographed copy as well, is that correct? Trish?
Yes, all you have to do is like my page.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And Facebook and just do a search for Trish Stratus?
TrishStratus.com. Yeah, same thing.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Well, once again, you can go to TrishStratus.com. Oh, I'm sorry, Trish, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it's out today. As of today, you can go anywhere, all over U.S., all over Canada, and get it. It's already been released in the U.K. last week, so it's out there, and it's slated for worldwide release, so get your Bounty Hunter on.
And is this something that's available on Amazon as well?
Yes, it is.
Okay, now, you having been someone who's been in the public eye for a long time, I'm sure this is not the first movie that you've been pitched, but this is your first feature role. What is it that you liked about this? What was it that made you want to do this as your first feature role?
It was mostly the action, you know, the action of the movie, and the fact that it was filming in Canada, it was filming in Toronto, which is where I live, and just to support a Canadian cast and crew was important to me. But like I said, the role, you know, the director wrote with me in mind, and so he didn't actually think he'd actually get me to play the role, but it sort of made its way to me, the script made its way to me, and I was just excited about really just showcasing a little bit, you know, what the wrestling world does and what we do as performers, as sports entertainers. It was an interesting opportunity for me to go and showcase that. I came into a bit of a producing role when I came on board because I wanted to maintain the integrity of the fight scenes. And so that was like really important to me, and that's what made the project really appealing to me.
Oh, awesome. That's great. And I mean, just to show stuff a little bit more, again, why should the fans go out and pick up this movie? Give us a little bit of taste of what we're going to get.
Epic fight scenes. Epic chick fights.
So, that's it. That's
yeah,
it.
Right? No, honestly, I really feel like people will walk away. I mean, the film itself is such a fun film. Boomer Phillips is my other co-star, and he is hilarious, and he brought such, you know, I guess organic comedy to the script that we just sort of, you know, the director, he let us go off and he said, you know, just do what you got to do with it, and gave us that creative freedom. And so when he was unleashed, it was just like he's hilarious. And the chemistry, again, it's one of those things that comes down to chemistry. So the chemistry between him and I, you know, definitely reads on screen. And I think, you know, the director at one point, he goes, when he wrapped, he said, I had the choice of, you know, sticking with a traditional action flick that I had written on the script, or due to the comedy then the banter that you guys created, I had a potential comedy on my hands. So he ended up cutting it, so it was a comedy, an action comedy, and I think he made a great decision. I think it's really fun, and really the Canadian, like, just the whole crew, we had such a blast making it, and that's why I think you could feel that energy. When you can tell when someone's like, we're having a good time making it, and so I do believe that's why the audience will have such a great time watching it.
And once again, you can go to TrishStratus.com, pick up a copy of Bounty Hunters. You can follow her on Twitter at TrishStratus.com. Trish, thank you so much for joining us. This has really been a blast. We just really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. Thanks for the support.
And we'll be right back with more after this on The Rack.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut up.
Shut up. For the trunk route parts.
Why does Rob Parrish do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, look, Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait,
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Well. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What'd I do?
Right. I'm Rob, your godfather tree for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
So here I am with my thoughts of you, and this world I've left for me. Stoic faces when I think of you, and how I once believed. So now you call me, but you know I won't let you through. I've myself to deceive. So leave the memories alone. I don't want to say the way it is. That's how it used to be.
And everyone, welcome back to our edition of The Rack. I'm Lindsay, and I have with me Rock. Unfortunately, Jackie's having a little technical difficulty right now, so I'm taking over the reins. God help you all for the time being. And I hope everybody was completely stratisfied by that interview as Rock, Omega, Jackie, and myself were. It was just completely awesome to hear yet again, just to relive that moment. Don't you agree, Rock?
Oh, I totally agree. That was, you know, we do a lot of interviews around here, but, you know, some were just that, you know, awesome. And this one was right up there. It's one of the best interviews we've done on the network. One of the biggest names, too.
Yeah, I mean, as far as getting your interview cherry pop, that's the way you do it. Trish, thank you so much. Everyone here would like to extend our huge thanks to you for sitting down with our little show and deeming us worthy to be able to talk to you. if for anybody asking, she's one of the sweetest, nicest people I think I have ever talked to in my life, and I would love to have lunch with her and go shoe shopping afterwards.
That's true. You can go to TrishStratus.com and buy a copy of Bounty Hunters. Buy a copy of her Stratosphere Yoga as well. Take part of her challenge too, because, you know, it's kind of cool and cool thing she does, and she interacts with the fans, and, you know, support her.
Yes, support Trish. Jackie and I are taking the 30-day challenge. We urge everyone out there that's listening to take it too. There's nothing wrong with getting healthy or getting in shape or even doing the yoga. Found a little bit of it online, tried it and liked it, so we'll see how this goes. Excuse me.
It's pretty good. So pretty good stuff. Go to TrishStratus.com and, you know, support Trish in all of her endeavors. And you never know, she may be on your TV in the near future. You just never know.
She may be, and she may be back on Wild Talk Radio, so keep tuning in and listening, because we may get her back, so cross your fingers.
We're hoping.
We're crossing our fingers, we're hoping, and we're praying.
Yeah.
But at this time, Rock and I would like to get serious for a moment.
Yes.
Today is a very special day for Rock and I, and special not in a good way. For those of you who know, Rock and I are fans, of Wrestling News Live, and that's actually how he and I met.
Correct.
Along with TJ Omega and Mace and Tim Stein and Spug, and that's how we all know each other. That's how we were all brought together into this crazy family, and that's actually what got us all, I believe, into internet radio was the scoundrels over at WNL known as the Trey Dog, and of course the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, JSK.
And as JSK would say it,
I am JSK.
That's damn right. And 5 years ago today, which it's hard to believe, it's completely difficult to believe because it feels like it was just yesterday, we lost JSK to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And every day we miss him, and we wish he didn't have to leave us so soon, but I guess heaven needed an enforcer, goddammit, and they called him.
Yeah, they did, and it's a shame, but we've had so many great memories with JSK. He was, you know, he made internet radio fun. He made it being fun to be a listener. He was just a fun guy.
He was not only fun, he was sweet, he was giving, he had the biggest heart you've ever seen in your life. I mean, you know, the guy would give you the shirt off his back if you asked him for it, if you needed it. So, you know, he was an amazing person. And at this time, Rock and I would just like to pay a little tribute to JSK because, like I said, 5 years ago today, we lost him. And he was our friend, and so we'd like to pay tribute to our friend. So if you'll just bear with us.
Yes.
We've got a little something prepared, don't we, Rock?
We do, but before we get to the long clip, one clip that's famous on Wrestle Talk Radio, became famous on Wrestle Talk Radio, it was this.
Who the fuck is Internet Dave?
Yep.
So it was like, who the fuck is Internet Dave? And it was all started by JSK on a famous episode of Wrestling News Live, Wasted News Live. And
yes,
all that fun stuff. But the other one, we have a little clip from an episode they did called Tornado News Live. Yes, they did a show while Tornado was going on. Don't ask me
why.
That's
dedication for you folks right there. That's dedication.
Yeah, it is. I did one through a blizzard. They did one through a tornado. So here's a little clip from that show, and then we'll get back into all the seriousness of the rack. But here's a little tribute for JSK.
Lone Star says, this sounds like redneck CNN weather coverage.
Now, you see that spot on the radar right there?
Right here is what
you have. That's a fucking, I'm watching the weather channel. That's pretty fucking big, guys.
Let's send it over to
our reporter in the field, JSK. Hey, JSK, is it wet outside?
Yes, sir. It's a little damp out here. I got these little white stones falling out of the sky, and I don't know what really they are, but, I mean, they hurt when they hit you in the head.
I've got a question
for you.
I know I've been told that you were hit by lightning earlier. Is it true that lightning does not strike twice?
That is not true, because that somebody's got me 3 times.
Okay.
And I even moved.
Goddamn.
It was like it was falling.
I was the one in their kidney stones I passed last week. Man, that shit's got to hurt.
I'm standing here holding on to this pole as I blow sideways.
There went my underwear.
There goes my chickens.
That was the underwear I was going to sell on that their website, too.
Now we don't have anything to raise money for the Reconstruction Fund.
And listening to that, back to that clip, he was really serious about selling his underwear on eBay.
He was. He was trying very, very, very hard. And I think he got a buyer, didn't he?
Yeah, he did get a buyer at one point.
Which is terrifying and awesome at the same time.
Yeah.
So, but that was our friend, and that's who we love the most. And it's like I said, it feels like yesterday, and every day is a day that, you know, he's missed, and he's missed by a lot of people. It's not just us. It's not just our little group here on the network. I remember when JSK died, and, you know, the outpouring of grief and messages and everything was just astonishing.
Yeah. I don't pimp this website often, but go to RussellReview.com. Adam Martin posts the same article every year that he wrote in tribute to JSK. Take a read of it. It's well done by Adam, so check it out at RussellReview.com. It's the only time we'll ever mention that website on this show, but...
Yes, and also, I guess we need to pimp them out as well. You won't hear us do this a lot, but you can also go over to snsnetwork.com. I believe that's the link, and you can listen to Wrestling News Live with the Trey Dog. Support them as well.
And on that note, we're going to take a break, come back. Jackie will return and do her thing and take back her show. We took 10 minutes away, so hopefully...
Yeah,
hopefully.
She's going to kick our ass now.
Yeah, pretty much. But we're going to send this out with JSK and a song. We'll be back on the rack right after this.
Cool. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that participates in the forum boards, and thanks for everybody participating in the chat room. Until next week, peace, 420, kiss my ass. Good night, white people. I'm out.
Well, I met him on the cliffs of Twin Rocks, Oregon. He was sitting on his bedroll looking just like Richard Brautigan. I thought he was an old man. He wasn't but 37. He said he'd been riding trains for 15 years and drawing portraits to keep his belly full of beer. And it looked to me like he died and missed the plane to heaven. But he's a nice old guy for a younger man. He had a bottle of Mad Dog he held in his hand and waved around a lot to make his point. And I listened as he told his tales of wine and women and county jails. We finished off that bottle and smoked a half a joint. And he said, I came here to watch the sun disappear into the ocean, 'cause it's been years since I smelled the salty sea. He turned his bottle up and down. I saw him lost and I saw him found. He said, I don't know what I've been looking for. Maybe me. Well, I told him I too had been traveling around, living out of my van from town to town, playing for tips and whatever records I could move. I said, I don't reckon I'll be making it big, you know, it's hard to get rich off of tour coffee house gigs. He said, yeah, but ain't it a blessing to do what you want to do? I told him, yeah, I pulled off here to watch the sun disappear into the ocean, 'cause it's been years since I smelled the salty sea. And he turned his bottle up and down. He saw me lost and he saw me found. He said, I don't know what I've been looking for. Maybe me. I said, it's getting kind of late. Better be heading down the interstate. Can I give you a lift to San Francisco Bay? He said, nope, I think I'm just gonna sit here and rest and maybe wait on the Tokyo Montana Express. I might just lay here and dream my life away. I'm gonna sit right here, I'm gonna watch the sun disappear into the ocean. It's been years, it's been years. I'm gonna turn my bottle up and down. You can see me lost and you can see me found. I met him on the cliffs of Twin Rocks, Oregon. He was sitting on his bedroll looking just like Richard Brautigan. Just like him.
Better call somebody.
It's me, it's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
You think you know me?
Welcome, everybody, back to The Rack. My name is Jackie, and I am here with Lindsay and Locke. And that was a real great tribute to your friend. I'm sorry I never knew him.
You would have liked him. You really would have. And I'm it's sad you never got to meet him.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And I was more than happy to give up a little bit of the show just, you know, for you guys to pay tribute to your friend. And the Trish interview was great. I'm still ecstatic about that. It's been a few days since then, and I still wake up with a smile on my face every day. You know, I mean, just, it's like I'm still just kind of like, did that really happen? I mean, did I seriously just sit down and talk to Trish Stratus? Ultimately, that's something I'll never forget, and I was thrilled to be able to do it with, you know, Lindsay, who's one of my best friends, and oh my God. Next we need to get Kane.
Yes, we're working on Kane. We are going to try to get the Big Red Machine on the show. So Kane, if you are within the sound of our voice, we want to have you on this show. We want you in general, but we would love to have you on the show as well.
Rob,
so,
did a really good job getting Trish.
So I'm gonna work on Kane. You know, let's cross some fingers, cross the toes. We're going to try one day, not any day soon, but one day, maybe we'll be lucky enough.
Cross the fingers, cross the toes, and spread the legs as wide as you can get them.
Here's
hoping. Are we talking about Trish or are we talking about Kane?
Kane.
Kane.
Okay, Kane. Yeah.
Hopefully See No Evil 2 comes out and we can be on the media tour for that and get Kane on the show.
And when you say spread your legs as far as we can get him, are we talking about us or are we talking about Rock?
Whoever gets him.
Did you hear somebody's, that, Rock?
Somebody's putting out for this. I don't know who, but somebody's doing it.
It comes down to the question, is Rock willing to take one for the team?
I thought I already just took one for the team.
Maybe you just took one for the team.
I have to take another one? Oh, Christ.
Yes, with Trish, that's not considered taking one for the team. And it's not considered taking one for the team. Just saying.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, so we're gonna get Kane on here, and it's going to be a show full of Lindsay and I just, yeah.
Join us for the special edition of Iraq where Omega and Rock interview Kane while Lindsay and Jackie go,
No, the entire thing you will hear will be the Harley squeak.
Yeah.
But no one, okay, we're telling you right now, Kane's not coming on this show.
Yeah, we don't have Kane, so don't,
no, we don't
put it out there that we have Kane. We would love to get him on this show, and it's something we have talked about at great length as far as people we would love to have, and he's definitely one of them. But we have no way of contacting Kane, Glenn Jacobs, whatever you want to call him. No way to contact him. We do not know him. He is not affiliated with us in any way, shape, or form, and I'm sure if he did, he would be thanking his lucky stars. But yes, so don't assume we have Kane, because we don't. However, if we ever, for whatever reason, book him on the show, you will hear Jackie and I scream from your present location.
Yeah.
You hear that, Mace? You'll hear the squeak from your wherever you are right now. Listen to
this.
Oh,
the fact that he's in Australia means nothing. He will still hear it.
I know, but this was me, you know, throwing in the Mace shout-out for the day.
Yes, hi, Mace.
Hi, Mace.
He called you fangirls. He heard some of the audio before.
Actually, I believe he was calling TJ Omega a fangirl, if I recall right.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, Omega.
So, do we want to go to on our aptly named foreplay segment?
I want to go foreplay. I want to do Sheik tweet first.
I need if we could do foreplay.
We can do foreplay. We don't have a bumper yet. We'll get a bumper done eventually.
Okay.
All right. And now for some foreplay.
And clip.
Yep. There you go. There's your bumper right there.
There's the bumper right there. Well, how do you think we got Omega's fancy dancing roundtable?
I'm not that drunk yet, so.
Can that be our bumper this week?
Well, yeah, that's our bumper this week, yeah. So we're doing some foreplay here on the rack, you know, quick responses to a couple questions. Lindsay, you're up first. If you were a type of alcohol, what type of alcohol would you be and why?
Jack Daniels.
And why?
Because it's southern, smooth, and mellow, just like me.
There you go. Jackie, what is your biggest annoyance with the opposite sex?
Their egos.
I would have thought it would have been their inability to communicate.
That too.
And zinger. Lindsay, your favorite all-time TNA wrestler is?
James Storm.
And finally, Jackie, if you could bring back any title from the past in WWE, what would it be?
Oh my god, the women's title.
A freaking man.
And that was another edition of Quick Foreplay here on the rack.
Quick Foreplay.
Quick foreplay.
Quick.
Wait, now it's quick?
Well, this one was quick.
God, that's such a man thing to say. Quick foreplay.
Man, we didn't even get to come. What the hell?
Oh my god, Lindsay.
I was drinking. Thank you very much.
Did I get the spit take?
Yes, you did.
Yes! And for the win!
And now,
it's time for Sheik Tweet. Well, you don't want to have sex with me. I'm the most handsome boy in the world, and you don't want to have sex with me. Well, what is wrong with you?
A week.
I'm gonna box your ass, and then you're gonna get hunted.
Wow, I love that opening. That's, oh my god. Okay, so Lindsay, do you want to go first, darling?
I will go first. So, if you're not familiar, Jackie Rock and I each examine the Iron Sheik's Twitter feed, and we pick a tweet that we think is the Sheiky tweet of the week. And my tweet would be, I'd be happy if before I see the Hulk Hogan, I eat Tito Santana taco and make old country fart in the Hulk Hogan face kill the Hulkamania.
Rock, you want to go next? Jesus Christ.
OK, okay, I watch the ESPN. They show the A.J. Burnett get ball to the head. I feel bad. I wish it was Hulk Hogan get hit in his small dick.
Okay, and mine is, and I fought to keep this one because this is so fucking weird. Rick Santorum fucked the pancake in the ass. Right. I had no idea pancake had an ass.
Apparently one does, according to the Iron Sheik.
And apparently Rick Santorum is a fan. I'm just saying.
He sends me emails all the time. He must be a fan.
Oh Lord, I'm so sorry.
and we can stop with the chic tweet of the week because we have a caller. Hello caller, what is your name?
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, and what is your name?
Eddie.
Eddie, well, what can we do for you today, Eddie?
Oh, I got notification of the show on Facebook, so I thought I'd just listen in for a bit.
Oh, good, good. Did you get a chance to hear our Trish interview?
No, I didn't, and it's kind of funny because I'm a very good friend of Tim's.
Yes, we know. This is, for who has never listened to Russell Talk Radio, this is Fast Eddie.
Hey, dude, what's up?
Not much.
So what's on your mind besides just tuning into our show? What's on your mind?
I don't know. It's like you guys are talking WWE. I know you guys aren't really interested in TNA, so I won't discuss it.
Okay.
And there's just a lot of stuff going on in WWE that's kind of weird. It's the way it's playing out right now.
Well, you have two ladies here who will answer any question you have.
I mean, I'm really intrigued by the whole fact of the Kane and Cena kind of on struggle that's going on. It's like, how did Cena get involved with the Kane situation anyway?
Actually, I think it was more along the lines of Kane involved himself in the Cena situation. Kane was injured, quote-unquote injured, at the hands of Mark Henry and was out for 4 months and came back during a match with Henry and Cena. Everyone fully expected that Kane was going to go after Mark Henry for injuring him, and for some reason he went after Cena instead. He was kind of echoing what a lot of fans say about Cena. Oh, they're tired of the good guy image. You know, they wanted to see the Boy Scout go tumbling down. So Kane started this whole embrace the hate thing where he was just basically lived and breathed to piss off John Cena.
Now,
which worked for me.
Is there a chance, Jackie, that Cena will go and embrace the hate and become the bad guy that everybody wants?
I doubt it. I mean, everyone was convinced that at some point during this feud, and have been convinced for the last few months, that John Cena was going to turn heel, but it hasn't happened yet. And I'm not seeing him going heel in the terms of, you know, a full-on heel. Has he gotten more edgy? Yes, he has. Is he the same at this point? Is he the same, you know, smiling Boy Scout that he used to be? No. But I think that was really all that was really necessary. I don't know that a full-on heel turn for John Cena was necessary or even likely. I mean, considering that they're still making the money on the Rise Above Hate and John Cena t-shirts, I'm not thinking that gravy train's going to stop anytime soon. What do you think, Lindsay?
I got to agree. I mean, it's as much as people want to see Cena go full-on heel, and I was one of them, honestly. I would love to see Cena just have character development in general. I do like the turn that he has now taken, where we're now getting around 2007 John Cena versus the Boy Scout. He's got more edge to him. He's cutting better promos. He's not, you know, he's actually more human now versus the Superman Boy Scout gimmick he was doing previous to this. So it's nice to see that little change, but I don't think we're going to get the full-on heel turn that everybody wants.
He's got a little bit of a nasty side to him now.
He does, and one of the things Jackie and I were talking about after the Raw Post Show one time was how interesting would it be to see John Cena's dark side, just because we have seen how far he is willing to go for the greater good, mm-hmm. but how far is he willing to go on the opposite end of the spectrum? What is he willing to do to get what he wants for that opposite end, for the I don't want to say the dark side, because, you know, that's the whole Star Wars connotation, but the bad guy role basically is that, you know, how far is he willing to go in that direction? And that would be an interesting side of John Cena to see, especially since he's not doing the rapper gimmick anymore, because that's what he was the last time he was heel, was that, you know, Eminem, Vanilla Ice, wannabe rapper gimmick. So to see him now in this incarnation go more towards not necessarily heel, but more have a more darker tone to him, I think could be interesting to see, just to see if he has the acting chops to be able to pull it off.
Well, that's right. It takes a lot of work to go from being a baby face to a heel. It's something that's going to be working, right? And then I've missed it the last couple of weeks. What's the situation with him and Eve?
Basically what happened was that Kane was stalking Eve to get at John Cena and Zack Ryder, because Kane put Zack Ryder in traction so he couldn't beat the crap out of him anymore. So he went after Eve, and he basically, the guys was, he came, put Eve in an ambulance, he was going to drive away with her, Eve escaped the ambulance, and then in a moment of passion, John Cena saved her from Kane, and then in that moment of passion, she and John Cena embraced and kissed right in front of a wheelchair-bound Zack Ryder. And so that's what happened there. And the next week you have Eve, you know, admit, oh, she was using Zack Ryder and she was going to use John Cena. And then that's when Cena cut the promo on her. So that's the whole situation there. And, you know, honestly, we can't figure out what they're trying to do with Eve, whether they're going to turn her full on heel or they're going to turn her, you know, what they're doing with her. Cause I have a whole separate rant for that later, but that's
The situation with Triple H and The Undertaker coming up at WrestleMania. When he said to Shawn that he wasn't going to fight anymore, I think it was Shawn's pressure that basically, you know what, I'm going to fight this guy just so I can shut you up.
I would agree to that to a point, but ultimately I think it was The Undertaker putting pressure on Triple H, and the fact that he basically assaulted Triple H's vanity on Raw and said, you know, you could never do what Shawn Michaels couldn't do, and Shawn is better than you. That kind of was a wound to Triple H's ego and his pride, and that, I think, was the ultimate turning point in that feud.
I think in that case, too, I think Shawn's going to interfere in that match somehow, and he's going to blow it for Triple H so that Shawn can fight Undertaker again somehow.
I see Shawn interfering, but I don't see him getting back in the ring. He said multiple times he's done. I know, you know, as far as the wrestlers saying they're done, that's not always believed, but I would give Shawn Michaels the benefit of the doubt. He hasn't shown any interest in getting back in the ring. I think he, you know, as far as retirement is concerned, he is retired, at least from the ring. Yeah. And also, he gave Undertaker his last match, and he said multiple times that he's going to respect The Undertaker and not get back in the ring, even if it is with The Undertaker. So,
well, the one person I get a kick out of right now is Daniel Bryan. He's on this bigger, oh, I'm a role model kick. There was somebody else that did that too for a while.
Yeah, I don't remember who though, but yeah, it's personally CM Punk is my hero. He's my role model.
That's what I was thinking of actually too. Kind of weird to see him act the way he is right now.
It is, but I like what they're doing with Punk. I like what they're doing with Brian. Brian, I will give all the credit in the world, is pulling off his I'm a vegan role model gimmick very well. He's selling me on it at this point. I just see a couple flaws in the character, you know, as far as, I believe I was corrected on this, but I'm not quite sure I believe it, that the WWE strap for the belt, I was told it was fake leather, but I'm just not 100% positive if that's necessarily true, that, you know, he's carrying around potentially a leather strap and he's a vegan. So there's just a couple other things you see where you're like,
That's kind of ironic that way, and I think in a way, he's using AJ, so he's kind of using AJ to boost his image a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. You know, Jackie, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think pretty much so too. And it's kind of, it would seem kind of strange that they would put those two together at first, I thought. But ultimately, it kind of works. I think I have to agree that AJ is being used. I'm kind of hoping that this leads to a kind of a storyline where she kind of snaps out of it and lashes back at him and kind of grows a backbone. That's kind of my hope. I kind of like the idea of her because she's so small. I mean, she's, what, 2 feet tall and weighs about 95 pounds?
Yeah.
So yeah, just to see a woman like her kind of lash out and stand up for herself against, you know, someone, you know, like the WWE champion, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would definitely twist that all around too. So,
anything else on your mind, Eddie?
No, I just wanted to chat for a few minutes. Haven't been on the show for a while, so.
Well, thank you for calling into the rack. You can hear these two ladies here every Thursday night, so don't be a stranger.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, ladies. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thanks. Have a good night, guys.
Bye.
That was Fast Eddie. He was a cameraman for Tim back in the day. I think he does some camera work for him now in Canadian All Pro.
Nice.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Yay, we got a regular. Sweet.
Sweet. And this is where I say, go to CanadianAllPro.com. Buy tickets for Tim's show next week. March Championship Madness. CanadianAllPro.com.
Oh, there's a good shill.
There you go. Anyway.
So let's see, what else did we want to talk about? Money in the Bank was moved this year. Isn't that right, Lindsay?
Yes, it was. It was originally scheduled to be in Vegas. And, it's been moved out of Vegas. It seems that the money was not in the bank in Nevada, and it's actually in the bank in Phoenix.
Damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it. I had all these tickets booked to go to Las Vegas. Now what am I going to do with them? God damn it.
We're still going to Vegas, dude.
Oh, we are? Sweet.
Vegas is still there. Just because the WWE isn't there doesn't mean that we still can't go to Vegas.
Sweet, we're going to Vegas. Woo!
Road trip!
The rack on the road. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of glad, you know, it's not going to move. I have to say, I've been in Vegas, and I don't know if I had a bad experience just because the person that I went with was a total bitch. But I went to Vegas, and my experience has been that Vegas is just a shit ton of walking. We stayed at Treasure Island on a strip, and just a lot of walking. So, I'm not that impressed with Vegas. Screw it. Arizona is interesting. I know I have some friends who don't like hot weather that are planning to possibly move to Phoenix, so that'll be a test.
Why would anyone want to move to Arizona and all that heat? Are they you know, not that bright? Come on, you gotta go, you know, go somewhere where it's not as hot.
Yeah, especially since he hates hot weather. Just saying.
that friend of yours, I'm telling you, tell him to think twice about going to Arizona. Just saying.
Well, we'll see if old friends can, you know, overcome the heat. But just in case you've never been to Arizona or Phoenix, and if you don't know, Phoenix is in South Arizona. So, in case you've never been there in the summer, it is surface of the sun hot. And it's a dry desert heat on top of it, which makes it, like, you know, four times worse. So, that will be interesting. I would almost pay money to see that.
So, now we have... We have a WWE show that's moved. Mm-hmm. And one other thing that I wanted to bring up, because I know Lindsay has a rant.
Yes.
Is we want to talk about Edge's new movie.
Oh, that's the other rant.
Right. Well, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Did you have something you wanted to rant about first?
Well, I wanted to rant about Eve, but that can wait.
No. One rant at a time. Let's talk about Eve. If you missed it, there's a really good article that talks about Eve Torres, done by Katie Raymond, who I follow on Twitter, and she's an absolute genius. We have to try to get her on the rack too, Rock. And she kind of talks about Eve Torres as a woman living in a man's world. And is she really so wrong to use her God-given assets to try to get by in a man's world? And my opinion on this is that it's honestly, it's a matter of degrees. If and I know I'm going to catch so much shit for this, but there are some men, I'm not saying all men, I'm saying some men that are genuinely led by the dick, I swear. You can be a woman and you can, you know, bat your eyelashes and, you know, shake your hips a little bit and they will open their mouths and their wallets and they're just that stupid. I'm sorry. If a person, be it male or female, is really that gullible, that someone like Eve Torres could use them to further her career, Katie Raymond asks Lindsay, is that really so wrong?
It's not so wrong. I mean, the article, Nate, does make a good point in the fact that women like Trish Stratus, Tori Wilson, Stacey Keibler, Dawn Marie, the list goes on and on and on and on, all use their God-given gifts to get ahead. And I have no problem with that. You know, work it if you got it, flaunt them if you got them, basically.
Right.
You know, but my more issue with the whole E situation is that while she is doing that, in comparison to the other women that have done it in the past, they never freaking outright admitted it in the middle of the ring, in public, on TV, in front of God and everybody before they were going to do it. You know, they just did it. And you knew they were using everybody, but you really didn't care. It was, you know, it's just assumed. Eve gets up there and she walks out to the ring and she's like, I'm going to use you and you're going to like it, basically. And I, like I said earlier in the show, after she makes that admission, what man is going to be stupid enough to fall for that? It's one thing if she does it and she uses them and we all know she's doing it without her saying anything. But to have her walk out in the middle of the ring and admit her plan before she's going to implement it is stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, did God forget to give you a brain there, sweetheart?
If I only had a brain.
Oh, my Lord. It's just...
Yeah, and you make a pretty valid point. That's like if I'm going to go... Let's say I'm going to go visit Rock, and my intention when I go visit Rock is I'm going to, you know, go into his house and I'm going to steal something. If I walk up to Rock and say, yeah, I'm going to come into your house and I'm going to steal something, he's going to know better than to let me in his house. And
right.
That's exactly the same thing that she's doing. Oh, I use people. And you kind of saw Cena's reaction. I mean, she, on the first night where she was honest about, you know, things, she latched on to Cena and Cena was like, don't want it. And everybody saw that. And so, who's gonna join forces with her now? And you figure somebody will, some idiot will, because by the time Zack Ryder finishes doing whatever he's doing for, I'm assuming, the WWE Network and comes back from his quote unquote injury, he may feud with Kane, he may feud with Cena, but I also don't see how they could not have some kind of a feud of some sort with she and Ryder. And so if we have a situation where she's going to play Poison Ivy and be like, oh, he's going to hurt me, you know, you have to protect me, da 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 da, who's going to be that stupid? Who's going to be the one to be convinced, oh, she really does love me, she wasn't using me?
Yeah, and it's... Omega made a great point to me on AOL, is that, you know, it's a classic Bond villain tradition that they admit their plan before they enact it. Unfortunately, Eve Torres is not a Bond villain. She's not anywhere close to a Bond villain. She's not even the girl Bond shacks up with in the movie. It's just... It's I don't even get how they're writing her at this point, because they do a real whiplash heel turn on her. And then they have her admit that, oh, I use Zack Ryder. Okay, fine. You use Zack Ryder. Big deal. And now I'm going to use John Cena. Really, you're going to announce that to the world. And then you turn around, and of course, there's John Cena there. We got the promo with Hoskies and STDs and everything else. And then now you have her come out the next week, and she cuts promo in the middle of the ring, which was kind of eh. But it's basically, you know, I'm beautiful, you know you want me, and I'm going to use you no matter what. And she admits to her plan, and it's just, I don't get it, basically. I don't understand why they're writing her like this.
I often wonder, And you always hear people say that WWE, you know, changes what they plan to do on Raw up until the moment it goes on the air, maybe even on the fly during the show. Her, and we have talked about this in past episodes, that her heel turn was so blatant. Could it really, I mean, is that something that they could have just done on the fly?
I fully believe that. I mean, like I said, I think it was either on the Raw post show or this show, was that they were, when they did the kiss with Eve and Cena, they were expecting to...
Sorry, go ahead.
Speaking of the Raw post show, my
phone just went off. I was like, oh my God. Go ahead.
But anyway, when they did the whole kiss between Eve and Cena, they were expecting John Cena to get booed. They were expecting backlash from that. I don't think they were expecting backlash on Eve.
Right.
And they were not expecting the reaction that Eve got. So, you know, they had the reaction that a lot of other people had, which was, okay, well, she's getting booed. Let's turn her heel and let's do it now. Let's capitalize on it. So rather than doing that real gradual turn into a heel, it was real sudden. And
right.
it does feel sudden, but it feels, I guess, schizophrenic in a way too, because she's all sweet and nice and then she's using people. And then she's in the middle of this ring cutting this promo and she's not 100% sure about it. It's like she wasn't convinced herself, therefore it was difficult for her to cut a convincing promo on, you know, on this fact that, oh yes, I am going to use people. Like, she was still trying to tell herself, yes, this is what I do, this is what I want to do, this is who I am, kind of deal.
Well, and that was one thing that I noticed too, like right off the bat with Eve Torres and her heel turn, was when she came out as a heel for the first time. If you watched her facial expressions, she seemed, really uncomfortable. And I kind of gathered two things from that. Either number one, she was genuinely uncomfortable and not really sure how, I don't think she's ever been a heel before. And if she's been a heel before, she must have never got that kind of heat because she seemed really, her face said she had doubts. And it was kind of just like, okay, so either she doesn't believe the character or the character doesn't believe in what she's doing. And, you know, one of the reasons why, I mean, I was kind of reading her article, reading Katie Raymond's article, and I was like, yeah, I kind of understand the heat that she's getting, particularly from other women, because as it's been stated on the show many times, one of the reasons why Lindsay and I, and well, let's just say Lindsay Rock and I decided to call the show The Rack is because Lindsay and I are both blessed as women in that way. I'm a double D cup myself, and I understand the kind of heat that you get from other women, because other women can be nasty. Nasty, nasty, nasty. I mean, even though it's not anything, it's your fault, it's just the way you were born. That's kind of still the way women can be. So if you're going to go out there, and what I've learned in life is that if you're going to go out there and if you're going to use your assets to get what you want, you better damn well believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so if she, as a woman, is out there saying, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to use the gifts that God gave me to get what I want, obviously, she either believes she's doing wrong or she doesn't believe in what she's doing because, you know, she looked doubtful. So either the character is doubting herself or Eve Torres is doubting her ability to pull off the angle.
I think it's a little from column A and a little from column B. I mean, quite honestly speaking, when the hell was the last time a diva got a push like this?
Yeah, and that's another place where I give her credit. That's just, it's been a while since any diva has become this embroiled in a storyline, and I think that was probably part of my issue with the divas division, is that there was a lot to be desired as far as not only the wrestling, which, God, there's a lot to be desired there, but also their abilities to act and their abilities to be involved in storylines. I mean, Lindsay, I know you'll remember, Rock, I'm sure you'll remember too, the thing between Kane and Kelly Kelly. Now, granted, you and I are Kane fangirls, and neither of us are fans of Kelly Kelly, so of course we were not going to like that. But that was some of the worst acting I've ever seen from anyone. I remember her sitting in a chair with Kane in that room with Kane talking to her, holding herself and crying. It was so fake. And then she turns around, "Don't hurt him." I was like, oh my God, will someone just fire her right now? I mean, it's
yeah.
So big ups to her for taking a chance and putting herself in a storyline that deep, especially one where you know you're going to be, you know, where they're going to react to you as a slut. I mean, you know, good for her.
She should call Lena.
Oh, God.
Ouch.
No, I'm serious. No, I was being serious on that one because, you know, you talk about how, when was the last time a diva has been in this type of story? It was Lita.
Yeah, it was Edge. Lita. She even brought it up at her wedding. If loving you makes me a slut, then I'm like the biggest slut in the universe or something, right?
Something along those lines. But no, just how to handle the backlash from fans. That's why I mean you should call Lita and, you know, get some advice on how to play this role.
And yeah, and one thing also that would separate Lita from Eve Torres in the situation is that the lead on was real.
Okay, but you know, I wasn't going there, even though we go there all the time with Lita.
Well, certain aspects of the Lita angle were real. The heat between Lita, Matt Hardy, and Edge was real. You know, as far as everything else, we don't know how much of that was story and how much of that was reality. But it was based off of the real situation in which Edge and Lita were screwing around behind Matt Hardy's back.
Right.
But I would say this, you know, it's like for the divas, if they do a heel turn like this, normally they are with somebody. And I think that's part of Eve's problem is she's going this solo. If they put her with someone, it might help her. Also, the fact that she's feuding with Kelly just because, you know, Kelly's like, "But you used to be so nice. What happened to you?" is just stupid. And also, where the hell is Edge when you need him? Because honestly, you know, he would be actually the perfect person to stick her with. The ultimate opportunist and the man eater. That just uses men to get what she wants. There you go.
I also would like to take a moment to point out the irony of Kelly calling Eva Skank. Just saying.
Yes. Yes. People that live in glass houses should not throw stones.
When you when you go out on TV every week in a costume version of bra and panties and snow boots, okay, when you were hired on by a company at 19 years by a national entertainment company to be a stripper on national television at 19 years old, when you drop out of college to do this kind of stuff, because my understanding is that before she was doing that, she was studying broadcast journalism, could be wrong. Yeah, don't be doing that. You have no credibility. I'm sorry.
Well, none of them do. It's like, I get why they're taking it to Twitter, but, you know, as far as the girls taking it to Twitter, again, it goes down to you can't throw down an insult good enough to make me believe that you two are actually fighting and you're hashing this out in public like this. I'm sorry. They can't throw down an insult, especially if you're not going to do it in proper grammatical English.
I was going to say, you got to be real careful about how you do this. I mean, the last time Kelly did a Twitter feud, she did it against Beth Phoenix. She tried to cut a promo on Beth Phoenix on Twitter, called Beth Phoenix son. You're addressing a female as son, and then she spelled it S-U-N. So it's just like, learn how to spell before you try to do a Twitter feud.
Yeah, you know, grammar, spelling, those things are kind of important. I understand for Twitter you only have 150 characters, but the beautiful thing about that is you can post as many tweets as you want.
Right, and the spelling of sun will never change even though it's 140 characters, I'm just saying.
I know.
Okay, so since we've had our Eve rant, now we have our Edge rant. It's E-People Rant Day.
Yes, speaking of Edge, the ultimate opportunist, we had Edge's trailer debut for his movie, Bending the Rules, Breaking the Rules, Bending the whatever. And if you have not seen the trailer, go watch it. just for the morbid curiosity, shits and grins, whatever you want to call it. And before I go into this, I am a big Edge fan. I adore him. He, you know, if he came back tomorrow, I would be perfectly content and happy with that. But oh my God, what the hell did they do to him in this movie? Oh my God. The costuming department needs to be shot. Just right off the bat. When you go watch these promos, he's wearing the most god-awful shirts in these promos you have ever seen in your life.
You know those kind of Hawaiian shirts that old men wear thinking they're hiding their tummies?
Yeah.
That's what he was wearing.
Think Charlie Sheen, but on, like, mega doses of crack. Bowling shirts. That's what these things are. They're just hideously ugly, and yeah, no. Then you have him wielding a gun as a cop, and his partner in crime is a stiff ADA played by Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
It's, like I said, go watch the trailer for yourselves. Some people, I'm sure, will think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Poor Edge. That's all I can say. It's another WWE film. That's all you can really put it as. The fact that this got released is just a shame, especially considering the fact that this is coming out right when Edge is going into the Hall of Fame. Oh, God. So, yeah, that's, I don't foresee this being a blockbuster. It's just, it doesn't look good. It looks really bad. It looks like every other WWE film I've ever seen advertised, you know, same basic story, except it looks like they're trying to do more of a comedy, which, God help us all.
At least it's not starring Cena.
At least it's not starring Cena, but we will get the Marine 3 that is slated for release sometime this year, so we will get Cena again in a movie. But before they shut down WWE films, I at least want my rom-com, goddammit.
We want a rom-com starring Kane, just saying. Okay, so one other thing to touch on before we go on to a kind of a side note. NXT has a new GM.
What?
William Regal has been named the GM of NXT.
No, see, they got this wrong. William Regal should be the GM of Monday Night Raw.
Thank you.
Yeah, but he's not. He's the GM of NXT.
So does that solidify that NXT is never going away? It's now its own brand that...
Yeah, this particular season has had how many episodes?
A year's worth.
And also, I'd like to point out, when is Superstars going to get its own GM? I mean...
So let me ask this question. Now that they have a GM, do we get Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT?
God, I hope not.
Battle of the GMs.
Okay, and by show of, and just kind of to prove, I mean, okay, how many people do you guys know that you can discuss NXT with?
I can't even discuss NXT. I don't watch it. Sorry.
Lindsay, what about you?
I didn't realize it was still on.
Yeah. So apparently, and I would venture to guess, that the adding a general manager to NXT, I'm thinking, because to be honest, I'm with you guys. I don't know anyone who watches NXT. And I'm kind of wondering if maybe this is not kind of like Superstars, where they're keeping it on the WWE website here in the States, because maybe it has a niche in the international market.
Yeah, it makes money for them internationally. They have a TV deal for it. Comes on TV overseas. And I understand its reasoning. And I guess giving them a GM, I guess now they have an authority figure, I guess, that takes Matt Stryker's, whatever role he was playing as the host, is now a GM in Regal.
And it does kind of make sense to have William Regal be the host or the general manager if we are talking about the international market.
Right, and he was already doing commentary for the show. Wow, I know so much about the show. I've never seen a goddamn episode of it being since it's been on WWE.com, but I know all this information.
Wow, I'm impressed, Rock.
I pay attention. You don't,
here's another thought. You know, and I know it's very, 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 very wishful thinking, but you've got the two GMs of Raw and SmackDown feuding right now. You name Regal as the GM of NXT, which nobody cares about because it's the bastard redheaded stepchild of all the other shows. So does Regal play a part in the other GMs at this point?
My guess would be no. Just because, again, you're going to put William Regal interacting with the GMs on a show that airs prime. I mean, honestly, they do show Raw and SmackDown overseas, but I mean, I honestly do believe that when SmackDown and Raw are aired, they are aired with the taste of the United States market in mind. Obviously, a lot of people in the United States are not watching NXT.
Right. But we don't foresee John Laurinaitis as a long-term on-camera role. God willing, we do not have John Laurinaitis as a long-term on-camera role. Teddy Long, they're doing something with him, which leads me to believe that they're possibly going to pull Teddy Long off of SmackDown. He's been GM of SmackDown for now, what, 5 years? 6 years? Something like that?
Something along those lines. He's been there a while. Even though they've given it to Vicky and stuff, he's always made his way back into the permanent role in some fashion.
Yeah, Vicky was just an interim, and then Teddy was always the permanent, but for whatever reason they pulled him on and off TV at will. So, you know, you have Laurinaitis go away, you have Long potentially go away. Who do you have step in to take their place if you're going to have one GM? I know a lot of people are saying Foley. But just to think this out, you could also, if you're making Regal a GM of NXT, why not have Regal take over Raw and SmackDown as well? And we all remember William Regal, or if you do remember William Regal as commissioner, he was funny as crap. And
he was
good at it.
Yes, and I always enjoy Regal as a performer. The only time I ever seen Regal do anything that absolutely made me cringe was his angle that he had when he first came into the WWE, which was the man's man thing.
Oh, jeez. That was awful.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, I wouldn't mind it. I don't necessarily know that they're going to do it if it's not a United States market. I mean, they're pushing NXT and they're pushing superstars, I'm sorry, overseas, and then just leaving it on the website for those of us in the States that want to watch it. So I don't know if they would be willing to put Raw and SmackDown in that position.
Well, I think they're leaving NXT and Superstars on the website is because by themselves, even before Regal was ever involved in NXT, it wasn't pulling the ratings. Same thing with Superstars. It was costing them money to put it on TV. It's cheaper for them to air it on the website because they don't have to have a television slot. They don't have to worry about a network. They can put it up there whenever they want. And it's on their site, so they control all the content that goes on there. So I think that's why they're content to leave it there, is because, you know, why should we put it on TV at this point if it's going to cost us money? If anything, what may happen with those two shows is once, you know, if and when they ever get this WWE network up and running, they move those shows off the website and back onto TV on their own network as the filler shows that they were promising, where they're going to show like live matches and that kind of thing. That's when you bring up your FCW guys, all these talents that they're signing from the indie circuit, and you put them on those two shows.
Right.
And for Jackie.
He's a man. Such a man. Such a man.
See, even that was lame, just saying. Okay. So, there's one more rant to be done tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Again, done by Lindsay.
God, how many do I have?
Well, there's one. We've had... Oh, gosh, Rock, how do you want to put this?
let's see. We have a follower, we should say. He's been messaging us on Twitter and on Facebook, and he's following us. And he has an obsession.
Oh, yes, the special little snowflake.
Yes.
Yeah. What's his name? I think his name is Luke.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay, Luke, you're going to get your shout-out. But you're not going to get the shout-out you wanted, dude, okay? We got your email. We have all read your email. As I said, this goes for Kelly Kelly as well as it goes for you. Grammar and spelling. Learn them. Girls like correct punctuation and also being able to understand what the hell you're saying. I know you think what you sent us was a question, but I couldn't tell it was a question because there wasn't a period, a question mark, or I don't even think a comma in the entire freaking thing. Also, capitalization, and once again, spelling. Spelling, 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 dude. Learn it. If English is not your first language, well, send it to us in your natural language. We will put it in Babelfish, and we will translate that crap. But, yeah, man, no. You know, one, we don't profess love for anybody but who we love on this show. So if you want to call in and you want to profess your love to this person, you're more than welcome. But as far as we are concerned, we're not going to indulge in what that statement said. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to, not going to support it at this point. You know, you can tell her yourself on Twitter if she hasn't blocked you at this point. But, yeah, you know, girl, it might help your cause just a little bit if, you know, you spoke in correct English, you typed in correct English, and for fuck's sake, you learned how to spell.
It's worth noting that we only fangirl over one person on the show, and that is Kane.
Oh, I have to take something up with Lindsay. There was a one comma in this little thing.
Was it correct?
Okay, so,
no.
Okay, well, you see, point is still valid. But okay, so it had one comma, but it still had no periods and no question marks, no exclamation points, a comma.
This was one 50-line run-on sentence, I'm just saying.
It was, yeah, man, that was just not even cool. So, you're welcome to keep tweeting us on Twitter. We may or may not respond, but yeah, you know, good luck with professing your love to this girl. Just as a side note, I don't think anybody is bullying you, man. I think people are just trying to wake you up to reality. So you may want to listen to them about that because, yeah, I don't think it's ever going to happen. But good luck with that.
If you really like Mickey James.
We weren't mentioning the lady.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whatever. It's already out. If you really like this person, if you really like this person and you want to get her attention, show her that you care enough to have someone proofread your psychobabbling.
Yes.
I mean, at least care enough to have it be grammatically correct.
See, I proof their psychobabbling. I listen to it, and I make corrections in it. When they do their psychobabbling about Kane, it's all good.
Well, I mean, I'm fairly confident that with my college degree and the one Lindsay's fixing up, we at least, you know, have a basic grasp of the English language.
Yeah.
But even we have to be, you know, brought in a little bit sometimes.
Just a little.
I'd like to point out, okay, I have no problem with anybody being a fanboy, fangirl, fan whatever of someone. Jackie and I are huge fangirls of Kane and The Undertaker. And yes, we do have the cheery fantasy, like every other fangirl, that X person is going to leave their spouse and come rescue us and marry us. Because that's, honestly, that's what, you know, you believe in the fairy tale. You want the fairy tale. But the fact of the matter is reality is, that is not going to happen. Jackie and I recognize this fact. We get this fact, okay? Glenn Jacobs and Mark Calloway are not going to leave their respective spouses for the two of us. Okay? It's just not going to happen. Mickey James, I don't know if she is with anyone. But yeah, you know, it's, you've got to face facts. Like I said, if it happens, great, man. You know, fairy tales do come true. dreams can definitely be achieved, but you probably got about as good a shot as the rest of us, so you may want to just wake up to reality, man, and realize that, yes, you want this, but, you know, people in hell want ice water, too.
And why would you come to us wanting to give a shout-out to a TNA athlete anyway? Just saying.
Oh, that's the other thing I'd like to correct. I didn't get to say this when Eddie called in. For the record, it's not that we do not have an interest in TNA. I actually am a TNA fan to a point. I was a TNA fan back in the Fox Sports days before they came over to Spike. I don't care for the current product they have now. I choose not to support Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff, and when Vince Russo was there, Vince Russo. And so that is why I don't watch. Also, I do something before this show that I literally, that ends at 7 my time, which is 9 everybody else's time, and that's smack dab in the middle of the impact. By the time I get home, it's off the air. And so I have to DVR it if I want to watch it, and honestly, I am not that good at watching things when I DVR it. So that's, and Jackie doesn't watch it at all. So that's,
yeah, I'm the one that doesn't give two shits about TNA.
Yeah, she's the one. So it's not that we don't like it. It's not that we don't necessarily have an interest in it. It's just it comes on at a really awkward time in my schedule for me to be able to watch it and talk about it.
Okay, and since we did gloat and, you know, fangirl and drool over Kane for the first 30 minutes of the show, we should talk about Taker a little bit.
Yes, we should. I think he's going to be feeling neglected.
Oh, and did you want to take that since I did most of the fangirling about Kane?
Yeah, I'll take that one. First of all, I don't even quite know how to put this because I don't want to sound like I'm gloating because, again, it is just a rumor. But everybody is talking about how this WrestleMania is going to be Taker's last match. Mm-hmm. That, you know, everybody's convinced of this. You know, Jackie and I aren't necessarily convinced of it just because the signs that Taker's going to retire are not there. Now, that isn't to say that somebody may stop wrestling. It could be Triple H. The Undertaker right. could retire from the ring. We don't know. But I'd like to point out that there was a little snippet that came out earlier this week. Let's see, I think it was yesterday, day before yesterday.
Something like that, yes.
On the news sites that it talked about The Undertaker, and it talked about The Undertaker's longevity in the company. And one of the quotes that was read, or that was taken from that, was that The Undertaker's time away from the ring has included surgeries on both his shoulder and his hip. It should also be known that he was lighter than even before when he showed up backstage at last week's Raw Super Show. Right now, they're estimating Taker weighs about 275 to 280 pounds, which if you remember him 10 years ago, he weighed 330 pounds. So that's a significant weight loss for him. Like a lot of people, they were believing that he was going to retire following this year's encounter with Triple H, but since it's not being hinted at, a lot of people are thinking that that's possibly false. In fact, most people within the WWE are believing at this point that Taker's going to be around for a few more years, especially if he's only doing one match a year.
Right. And then also going back to what we've discussed several times at length on the Raw post show, and I think we may have touched on it at WTR, not real sure, but you know, going back to The Rock has made it clear that he will be at WrestleMania 29, and he will be doing something that he's never done before. One thing that he has never done before is gone after the streak. So do we know that that's what The Rock is going to do? No, we don't. And it's, you know, but it is certainly an interesting point to make that, I mean, this is something that could go on. I think as much as I am not a fan of Dwayne Johnson, I do think that a match between he and Taker would be something that, you know, pretty much everyone else but me in the WWE universe would want to see.
Right. I mean, it's, as far as if it taking this news into account, you know, WrestleMania 30 is coming up. It's 2 years away. You would think that if Taker was going to do it, he would possibly hold out for WrestleMania 30 at this point.
Right.
Especially if they can get, you know, a couple more matches out of him. Because let's be honest, he's going to be done when he says he's done.
Yeah.
You know, I know for a fact that, and I've heard this, you know, the entire time I've been watching wrestling, is the internet wrestling community has said, you know, for the past 10 years, the Taker should retire.
Pretty much.
And it hasn't happened. And yeah, he is not as good as he was. But you know what? Neither is anyone else there.
Right.
Triple
H is, so retire when he's ready.
Yeah, I mean, Triple H is not as good as he was 10 years ago. Shawn Michaels was not as good as he was 10 years ago. It's, you know, with age, that happens, and I'm certainly not trying to justify Taker staying, but, you know, the guy should get to decide when he's ready to be done, and we shouldn't decide it for him. And that being said, you know, one thing we mentioned is that, you know, The Rock has never faced Taker at WrestleMania. And I guess that's one of the things I cringe about, because it's like, you know, I understand that Rock and Cena are embroiled in the feud, but personally, I wouldn't mind seeing a Cena-Taker feud. I wouldn't mind seeing Cena or Taker-Punk at WrestleMania. You know, Taker-Rock would certainly be a huge draw as well. So it's like, you know, off the top of your head, given the fact that if Taker's going to stay, you can think of all the matches that we could get, especially now considering the guys that are coming up. And the fresh feuds and the fresh matches that we could get.
And one other thing that's worth pointing out here is that, you know, you read through a list of some of the things that Taker did while he, this year that he was away. He had like 3 surgeries. That's pretty severe. And when you consider his age, some of the battles that he's been involved in, some of the battles that he's going to be in, Hell in a Cell matches, no joke. We kind of also just assume, and I agree that it's likely, but we don't know for sure. We just assume that once Taker wrestles Triple H at WrestleMania, win or lose, hopefully win, that we are not going to see him again for another year. I mean, I'm just wondering if maybe he didn't have, so, you know, 3 surgeries in the scope of a year because, you know, he was hurt. He had all these medical issues. He was hurting. We know he has a history of shoulder problems. And so maybe with these problems mended to the best of his ability, am I saying he'll be a full-time worker again? Absolutely not. But he shouldn't be, honestly, at his age. He shouldn't be. But maybe we'll see him a bit more than maybe once a year.
Well, Brock and I were talking about this one night after we had gone off the air in the post show, is that I think it was after the Raw post show when Taker came back, and I think you had already gone to bed at that point, was that when you saw Taker return a couple weeks ago on Raw, he looked good. It was the first time I remember seeing Taker look that good in a long, long time. He looked rested. He didn't look like he was moving with a lot of pain. He was moving generally well, especially the second time he showed up. He didn't seem to be struggling to walk. He wasn't as stiff as he usually is. He looked good. He sounded good. He looked rested. And you can tell that the 9 or 10 months off that he's had has done him a lot of good. And
right.
One of the things we were talking about is that, you know, given the fact that he is only coming back for one match a year, is that we could see Taker go past WrestleMania this year, especially since he has the very good odds of coming out in good shape of Hell in the, you know, coming out of Hell in the Cell, I should say, in good shape, where he will come out of it healthy. Maybe not, you know, 100%, but he will come out of it healthy. And we can see him continue on, possibly not as a full-time worker, but as we've often mused, you kind of start to transition Taker from that full-time worker into more of a on-camera, non-working role. You know,
right.
One thing that they can do with The Undertaker now is that he kind of serves as the conscience of the WWE, where if somebody does something he doesn't agree with, he's not afraid to pipe up and, you know, go after that person and stand up and say, hey, that's not right. I don't agree with that. You need to stop. And, you know, the one thing with the Undertaker character is that he doesn't have to be there for them to make his presence felt. You know, they can dim the lights. I mean, hell, the gong gets a bigger pop than he does at this point.
think about this moment, okay? Let's say it's July or August. Miz is running off his mouth, just rambling and, you know, all of a sudden, you hear the gong. Undertaker just magically appears. Tombstone's Miz. Everyone goes home happy. Just, you would probably see moments like that from Undertaker in the near, I would think. Just to have him pop up once in a while.
Well, I mean, I think it would be, at minimum, a crying shame to have the Undertaker just go away. I mean, he is the judge, jury, and executioner in the locker room, and he does have a lot to offer the younger guys, as far, and even the younger girls, as far as not only wrestling, but also how do you handle yourself? You know, when do you lay down for someone? When do you have to do something that you don't want to do because it is genuinely good for the business? And I mean, not being someone who's ever even been in a WWE locker room, I don't even know what the gamut could be of the things that Undertaker could teach them back there, but I know that he could do it. I know he's been doing it for God knows how many years. I think that's very valuable, and I see no reason that, you know, he shouldn't do that anymore.
Well, I mean, to kind of sort of just argue that as devil's advocate, he's been there for 20, 21, almost 22 years at this point. He's definitely earned his retirement. He definitely has earned the right to go home and vent, you know, right off into the sunset, as it were. But they would be foolish to let him go away completely. You know, like you said, he has so much to teach them. He has so much knowledge that he could pass on, and just the asset of him working with the younger guys and girls, trying to bring them up into the business properly, is astounding to think what he could do. But also the asset he could be to creative. He could be to the road agents. He could be as a booker. I mean, it's just you look at the amount of knowledge that man has, that you know he has, and you thank God the possibilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I've said, if they bring Tough Enough back, it doesn't fit the character, but I would love to see Taker as a trainer on Tough Enough.
And that's kind of one reason why I kind of like the idea of segueing the character from the dead man version to either the Big American Badass or Big Evil, what we'll call his more human side. The Undertaker has always been the Undertaker, but there's nothing that jumps out at me as any time when he was the American Badass or when he was Big Evil, where he was, you know, shooting lightning out of the sky or whatever. If he really is going into retirement, going out on that gimmick, which I know that would upset a lot of people because the dead man gimmick is iconic, but if I'm looking at the dead man or if I'm looking at Big Evil or the American Badass, you're more likely to see, I would argue, the American Badass or Big Evil, whatever, the biker gimmick, outside in the world. Going all the way back to SummerSlam, God, I forget which SummerSlam, I want to say 92 or early 90s, when he had the match with Yokozuna when he left, when I think his first wife was having a child, and he went out in that casket match with Yokozuna.
Royal Rumble 94.
That's the one where he went out?
Because then they did him on the video wall with a message right after he was put in the casket.
Okay, is that the one where they did the video where he was building the casket for Yokozuna?
I think he was building... He might have been.
Well, basically what I'm getting at is that kind of video... Videos like that kind of set the precedent for how the Undertaker... How the dead man Undertaker lives when he's not in the ring as far as kayfabe is concerned. So now I don't know that besides the DDP Sarah angle... I don't know that there was ever a whole lot of showing the Undertaker as Big Evil or as the American Badass, how he lived outside of the WWE ring. I think it would be more believable if we're going to carry on the Undertaker through different things in WWE TV, like a future Tough Enough, to have him do one of his more human angles.
Well, I mean, if you go back and you watch particularly the promo he cut on, the last promo he did on Triple H... And if you watch the videos, he's not necessarily talking as the dead man. He is talking more as the Big Evil gimmick. He is not doing the Taker voice. And you can tell he's not doing the Taker voice. But he's not talking in his natural voice. He's doing something in between.
Right.
And he was more... he wasn't acting like the dead man. He was moving. He wasn't stiff. He wasn't, you know, there was more Mark in that particular incarnation that we saw this last time than there has been in the past.
Right.
And, you know, I've said it before on the show where, I agree with you. I would like to see them take the character, because you had Cain strip him of his power, bury him alive. Then you have Triple H at WrestleMania beat him so bad he had to be carted out of the ring. And, you know, those two combined, you know, the dead man is now gone, essentially, from those two events. So now you just have the mortal man that is left. And so that would be an interesting twist in that character of, you know, what is the Undertaker when his power is gone, when he's just simply Mark?
I don't necessarily know that I would like to see them get rid of the, you know, the supernatural character entirely. I mean, I made a big deal personally about, oh my God, you know, when the Undertaker retires and Kane retires and Paul Bearer's gone, who's going to carry on that supernatural element? So I would at least, if they're going to eliminate it with him entirely, I would kind of like to see that carried on through someone else first. But it's just, I just don't see it as being very realistic that the dead man character, I mean, we've already established how this person lives, and it's not in any kind of real world, you know. So we have to, if we're going to establish him as a viable character outside of the dead man gimmick, we're going to have to do something along those lines.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, if you look at the way Taker dresses outside the ring, and you can find numerous pictures of him online. You know, there's one picture of him in particular of, he's in all black, but it's black jeans, black boots, a black biker jacket with skulls on it, you know, black shirt, bandana, black hair, the works. And he looks like, you know, basically the dead man version of the American Badass. It's a nice blending of the two, and that's the version I would like to see. Where it's, he doesn't come out in the big, heavy, leather, crazy-looking druid robe, but he also isn't, you know, spitting tobacco at people and, you know, drinking beer on camera, and he's not all redneck. You know, it's a nice, there's a nice in-between there that I think they could get away with, plus, you know, one role I've said I'd like to see him in and that they could transition him into as easily as, again, bringing back the whole GM debate. And I know this is a long shot, but Teddy Long, probably they may take Teddy Long off TV. We're pretty sure they're going to take John Laurinaitis off TV at this point. Who fills that void? You can have Taker fill that void nicely.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that would be up for doing that. I know another one that I like is Foley. I mean, there's so many people that could do that, and I think one of the things that makes Taker good with that, and I guess you could say the same thing for Foley, but, like, you know, honestly, is that you're not going to intimidate the Undertaker.
No.
There is no one back there that could intimidate the Undertaker. I'm not talking about Kane, Big Show, Kali, bring your big men. No one is going to intimidate the Undertaker. So that would make him a great GM because, you know, those guys do like to try to push the general managers around.
And one thing would be interesting is we always see the general manager be conflicted by the quote-unquote personal issues, personal reasons. Honestly, at this point with the Undertaker character, aside from Kane, what personal issues or reasons does he have?
Right. I don't think Oksana is going to be getting anywhere with the Undertaker, just saying.
No. Not if his wifey has anything to say about it.
If she was blonde still, maybe.
Yeah.
But she's no longer blonde.
Right.
Yeah. She's now sporting the black hair and the dominatrix look, so something tells me she's not getting anywhere.
Right. So, I mean, it would be nice. I'm just ultimately when push comes to shove, I'm just like, what the hell ever. As long as Undertaker is still on TV, I'm a happy camper. And I'm the first one to admit, yeah, it's only my fangirl point of view. This has been the person who has kept me a WWE fan since 1991, and it's now 2012. I don't know that I'm going to handle it well if he's taken off TV.
Well,
I'm serious. I might just explode.
Well, here's the thing. We're already getting that because he only comes around at WrestleMania, like I've said in the past. You know it's WrestleMania season when The Undertaker shows up.
Right.
When Taker comes back, it's kind of like Santa Claus rolling into Herald Square at Macy's. when Taker shows up, it's WrestleMania time, and you know it. You know, same thing when Shawn Michaels gets pulled out of the mothballs, when all the legends start showing up, you know it's WrestleMania season. And it's sad, but it's true. And in looking at the product, especially on SmackDown, since it was so centric around Taker, you know, as far as that main character, that main really tweener, he wasn't a heel, he wasn't a face, he was just there, and he was so over, he got a pop no matter what he did, that it's like, you know, you've seen the hole now that is left in that company without him there.
Right.
And you can tell they are having a hard time filling that gap, filling that void that he's not there.
Yeah.
I mean, you notice when he came back, they didn't put him back on SmackDown. They brought him back to Raw.
Right. Right, exactly.
To showcase that, yes, he's back, he's here, there you go. And it's that big of a deal now. So it's just, I'd like to see him come back. I wouldn't like to see him work a full-time schedule just because, you know, at this point, seeing him wrestle, it's more of a, oh, hey, Taker's actually going to wrestle. Even though I really don't want to see Triple H versus Undertaker in Hell in a Cell. I will sit through it, and I will cry, but I will sit through it just to support him. I mean, if I can get through the Jacob Goodnight scene and see no evil, then by God, I can sit through Taker Triple H Hell in a Cell.
I think you'll be fine.
I think I'll live.
Yeah.
I said she calls herself a fangirl.
I sat through it.
You felt dirty, I'm just saying. I mean, Lindsay Ward is someone, let me just put it to you this way. Lindsay Ward is someone who prides herself that her mind is one with the gutter. And she could not sit through this one movie scene because she felt dirty.
I can watch other people do that. I cannot watch Kane Glenn Jacobs do that. I'm sorry, it's just weird, okay?
My face lit up at the time that all the blood just drained out of her face.
Oh, crap. God.
It was great. It was great. But you know what, guys? I think that's a show.
Yeah, I think. And we're done.
So, thank you for everyone who stayed with us. And thank you again to No End, to Trish Stratus, for her to come in and be on with us, you know, despite that we've done less than 10 shows. I mean, I was very honored, and it was something getting a chance to sit down and interview her that I will never, ever forget. And I don't think anyone here will. And thank you to Omega as well for joining us. I'm glad that we were able to assist him in getting a chance to sit down and talk to someone that he's been admiring a long time.
Yes. And I would like to say thank you to her again. You are welcome to come back anytime. We would love to speak with you again, and I would love to go shoe shopping with you, so you don't call me.
And Rock is going to continue to try to get us our big red cane.
Yes, but go to TrishStratus.com, buy the film.
Yes, buy the film. And if you've not been to her Facebook site, do a search on Facebook for TrishStratus.com, and if you like her fan page, it will give you an option there to buy an autographed copy of her movie. And so definitely go check that out. And remember, you do have to pay for the movie. Someone actually came to me and told me that they thought that if they liked your page, they would get a free autographed copy of the movie. No. The movie, I believe, is $25.
My possibility, that sounds about right.
And if you like her page, there's a thing there where you can type in something that you'd like customized. And I would say do it, because, you know, one thing that I will say about Trish Stratus is, you know, there's a lot of people who, like Dwayne Johnson, will leave the WWE, which he's entirely within his rights to do, and then forget about us and separate himself from the WWE and all that kind of stuff. Trish has left the WWE, but she's still a part of things with the WWE. Just recently, she did a chat with them I believe it was on Twitter or at WWE.com or something. But Trish has stayed with us as WWE fans. She didn't forget about us and walk away. She didn't go and tell everyone that she's separating herself from the WWE. She's always hung around for the fans. And I think we should support those who have stayed with us. So definitely go and check out her movie. There's an epic chick fight in it, like she said, where she wears a schoolgirl outfit.
Just
saying. So definitely go to TrishStratus.com. You could also get it on Amazon. You can go get an autographed copy. free autograph copy at her Facebook page. And I think it's shell time.
I think I just heard Omega squee with delight and then just explode from excitement. At the thought of Trish Stratus having a chick fight in a schoolgirl outfit.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first thing that I noticed was when I saw it, when Rock brought that trailer to my attention, I was like, oh, look, she's fighting in a schoolgirl outfit.
But I mean, I will give her this. Props for not dropping the drinks in the bar.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes. She did this awesome move to this girl and managed to hold the tray of drinks that she had. Just saying. Oh, my God.
Oh, you can follow me at Lins Ward, LinsWard on Twitter. You can also follow the show at WTR_rack. And as always, check out the archives. It should be up when? Later tonight? Tomorrow? Whenever?
Eventually. It'll be up by noon tomorrow.
Okay, so tomorrow, check out the archive. You can hear Trish Stratus's interview if you didn't hear it. Support her on Twitter, TrishStratus.com, and go to her website. Buy the movie, please. Buy the movie.
Yes, we want her to come back, so buy the movie. And you can find me on Twitter at Jackie Feist. You could also email us. We have an email address. I believe it's therack@wildtalkradio.com. Mm-hmm. Rock?
That would be correct.
Yes, okay. And I am on Facebook as well. Lindsay and I recently just did a episode of Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, which is a podcast that we do for the history of WWE.com. We do talk about this. We did have Omega on so he could squee over the Trish interview. We also touch on a variety of topics as it relates to WWE, so definitely go and check that out.
Now I get to shill everything else?
Yes.
Yep.
Let's see. Saturday, somewhere between 3 and 5 p.m. Eastern, we'll be live on the Wild Talk Radio Network with a special edition of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, live from WSU's event, their meet and greet event in New York. Alan Wojcik is on location. He'll be there live with Jamal at the event in New York. Go to gofightlive.tv and purchase the event, or just go to wildtalkradio.com, click on the little ad banner, and buy it from us. Sunday, another edition of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, the special ROH edition. It's a podcast-only download. It'll be available the afternoon of Sunday, where Alan has a special guest from the past of Ring of Honor. Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein and the crew. They'll come and catch you up on the week in pro wrestling. Monday night, we do the WTR Raw post show as we'll recap everything that goes down between the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H, and everyone else who's on Monday Night Raw. That's 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Once again, Tuesday night is another edition of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. And on that show, it will be the one, the only, I believe, Ron Simmons is on the program this week. I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe so. Yeah, Ron Simmons is on this week on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Coming weeks, we'll have J.J. Dillon. So, you want to look out for that one coming soon to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hall of Famers on this network.
I know. It's like awesome. We had two Hall of Famers last year. We have two Hall of Famers this year. I think this is the place where Hall of Famers want to go. And
I know we had a future Hall of Famer here tonight. Just saying.
Also on Kayfabe is Eugene as well. He'll be on the program as well this Tuesday night. Wednesday night is just another goddamn wrestling show. Jen's got to do their thing. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork, and twitter.com/wildtalkradio. And I forgot my own show, CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish. Joe, myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. So there you go.
Well, thank you everyone again for listening, and don't forget to check out the show on the archive so you can tell everyone to go listen to Interview with Trish and go buy the movie. For Lindsay.
Hold on. My God, you people, Lita doesn't bend over for this long. Thank you, Omega. Now you can close out.
Wow.
Or that came from Omega, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so for TJ Omega, Lindsay Ward, and Sir Rocket, this is Jackie Feist. We will see you next week. We actually see you Monday for the Raw post show, and we'll see you next week here Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern for the Rack. Peace.
If you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.